much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I wish I prepared something. I did not even know I was doing this. Hit it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the first commercial radio broadcast from KDKA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jebediah Ryder. And KDKA, it's a very long time fan, music.
Kevin, lay out the sauce, man.
And now.
And remember, ladies, one-night stands may be over by morning, but syphilis lasts a lifetime.
Our feature presentation.
Good thing to remember.
You don't have to tell me.
It's good, too.
Hey, party people. It's Monday. We have room for your phone calls if you want to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free telephone number. And by the way, since it's Monday, it means new prize.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Could be both nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas and backstage passes, and you get to join My Chemical Romance permanently. Could be that.
Yes. Could be all the diamonds in the world.
Might be all the diamonds in the world.
Right.
So I guess you'll have to call, get on the air with something interesting, and then find out. 1-800-520-1067. I saw a story on Saturday from a site called Weird News. I don't know if you follow them or not or have seen their site. But rarely has a story made me as happy as this one.
Someone die?
No death. I walked around with a glow all day long when I considered that this possibly could be the greatest long con of all time.
Ooh.
If true, really one of the more incredible crimes I've ever seen in my life. And it involves the parking lot of the Bristol Zoo in the UK, where they have parking for 150 cars and 8 buses there. Parking attendant works for 25 years there collecting money and then doesn't show up one day.
Disappears.
So, just doesn't show up, right?
Love it.
So the Bristol Zoo, they call the city council and say, hey, you need to send us over a new parking lot attendant. We don't know what happened to our dude, but he's not here, and we need a guy. You know, we've got somebody filling in, but we need a guy. And the city council says, we're not in charge of the parking over at the zoo. That's your guy. We don't have anything to do with it. And the zoo says, but the attendant was employed by the city council, right? And the council says, no, we've never heard of the guy. We don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, you're telling me that a guy that didn't work for either of them just showed up for 25 years and collected money?
Yes.
Awesome.
That's what I'm telling you.
Who paid him?
All the people who parked.
Everybody who showed up and saw a guy sitting in a parking lot attendant, right? Sitting at the booth there. So it is estimated that he was collecting over $500 per day for 25 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that so much.
$3.5 million. Gone. No one knows his name even anymore. You know, I mean, he's out of there. I mean, I guess the people who – I assume the zoo at some point knew his name. But if they didn't hire him or employ him, maybe they didn't even know his name. I don't know. But – like I said, the greatest long con of all time,
wow.
Because somebody might think of that and do it for a weekend and go, hey, now I've got $1,000, I'm out, right, before I get caught. Can you imagine showing up and doing it for 25 years, making that your job?
That's great.
No.
That's brilliant.
Because every day you would think, okay, someone's going to figure this out, I'm going to jail, let's just go with what we've got.
Right, but after 2 or 3 years, maybe not. Maybe you go, this could work forever.
This works.
Oh, my God.
Now, the only thing I could think, though, the only thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way about it is, wouldn't the zoo, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but wouldn't the zoo get a portion of the parking? You would think that would be the deal, that the zoo would get some of the money, but then again, maybe not. I mean, there are lots of places that you go that have a parking lot that's run by somebody else, and the business doesn't have anything to do with it. It just happens to be land adjacent, so I guess that's possible, right?
That dude showed up for 25 years and then finally just said, all right, I'm going to give myself a Rolex, and I'm out.
I have too much money. I'm quitting.
It could be over $7 million at this point, by the way, if you do the math.
That's great.
So he's living in his, at the beach in Spain or something.
Yeah.
By now. So I walked around with a very warm, fuzzy feeling all day Saturday until I got up Sunday and checked it on Snopes.com and found out it's not true.
Oh,
so then I was so disappointed because that guy was my hero.
Don't check. Let us just believe.
I know. It was so much better when I didn't know, when I thought it was true. And I love that guy so much.
Yeah.
But apparently it's been circulating around the internet for the last year or so. And apparently the Bristol Zoo is very ticked off about all the phone calls they get and all the comments they get. So.
Really? The zoo's mad?
Well, just because it's a persistent rumor that people are always calling to confirm and check up on. And they're just tired of dealing with it.
Let's call today. Just find out for sure. I don't trust Snopes.
Anyway, he was almost the Kevin Bean Citizen of the Day, if he existed.
If that guy existed, he was a shoo-in for the Citizen of the Year, I think.
Yeah.
He rules, right?
Cool. But he doesn't rule because he doesn't exist. So, less of that. All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Is it both nights and backstage passes of Almost Acoustic Christmas next weekend? No, it's a brand spanking new Kevin Bean t-shirt. That's what you get. But that's just as good. Sure. Alex is on line 3 to get us started here on a Monday. Hey, Alex, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, Kevin and Bean? What it do, baby?
What it do?
What's going on?
So I'm gridlocked on my way to the Black Swan premiere, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend turns over and looks at me, says, "You got to pull over." And I can't go anywhere. So she pukes all over my lap.
All right.
Turns over, pukes all over her lap, and then puts her head down.
All right.
Aww.
That's how you want to start a night.
So you made her wait in the car while you went to the movie?
No, she suggested that, but I didn't. And I ended up not going.
So you got tickets to the premiere, but couldn't
from you
go.
Guys.
But yeah. Couldn't go because your date was throwing up on you.
All over myself, all over the car. I just finished cleaning, correct?
Yeah.
Good time. Hey, did we ever find out why she was throwing up? What had gone wrong? Did you guys go to a bad meal beforehand or something?
No. Apparently in my area, there's something with the bread around here right now. I don't know.
All right.
It smelled like disgusting sweet bread, though.
Something with the bread.
Okay.
Pretty bad.
Something with the bread.
I have no idea what he's talking
about. Probably
about.
Deserves further investigation, but not from me. Thank you for the call, sir.
Some pieces of that story missing.
Let's try Philip, line 5. Hey, Philip, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Welcome.
How
does it do, nephew? How's
the
baby boo?
How does it do, nephew?
What's going on, man?
How about that Raiders?
They did win a game, if that's what you're suggesting.
It's not just a game. It's not just a game. It's San Diego.
It's crosstown rivals, yep.
Yeah.
Woo! That was a nice game. I loved it.
Now, Philip. And Philip, are you still up from last night?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell.
I gotta go to work, though. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, he sounds like he's ready to go to work, doesn't he?
Work. Yeah, that guy's gonna be a lot of good today.
I think I heard it was the first time since 2001 that the Raiders have beaten the Chargers twice in a season. So it doesn't happen very often, but yeah, they sure did.
How about that?
And by the way, Psycho Mike, I'm sure you saw Arthur Cisneros was one of the people who was arrested at that USC-UCLA brawl in the parking lot.
Who's that? Rudy's dad?
Rudy's brother, I believe.
Brother.
Yeah. His brother, yeah. People getting stabbed over that game in the parking lot. Something like 40 people involved in a brawl before that game on Saturday.
All right.
Crazy.
Now we're getting somewhere. Now it's the holidays. You know, it's not the holidays till somebody brandishes a knife. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, maybe in the 70s, guys. But come on, get up with the 90s. Times have changed.
Times have changed. There's a new TV show, and it's called Hoff something. Hasselhoffs. What's the name of it?
Hoff. I think it's called The Hasselhoffs.
The Hasselhoffs. And it's a reality show about David Hasselhoff and his family.
About time.
And that is absolutely going
to
be great.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Right. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
You don't need tickets. It's a TV show.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, it's just, where is
there?
A&E.
I think it's just on A&E.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
Yeah, come pick up something.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
I'm sure there are.
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert? Do you know?
No. I don't know.
And when does the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
No, like 10 a.m. All right. Listen, we got
the Hoff loves to rock.
Right. Okay. We are also going to have Bob Saget in the studio.
Yeah.
We're excited about that. We have Mr. Skin, maybe the best man alive.
Of course.
The best nude scenes of 2010. We have TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have Thanks for That Info Bean.
How dare you?
We have, by the way, all from like a day and a half last week. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Yeah. Bean just went on a tear.
This is where you make up stuff you claim I said.
Yep,
I got it.
That's exactly it. And we have tickets in the pit.
Nice.
For the sold out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ and it is 5:49.
Next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll hook you up with tickets for night number two, the Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. Now, what's the deal? These are pit tickets? Is that what we got?
These are pit tickets.
Yeah. Pit tickets. Wow. Oh. So we'll tell you when to call in coming up in minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, how was your weekend?
Oh, magic.
Yeah? What'd you do? Anything fun? You whip your hair back and forth?
No, I didn't get a chance.
He whipped his hair back, I can tell, but yeah,
not going forth yet. No. I like to leave it back for a while, and then, you know, then forth has much more impact,
That's
I think.
That's true. That's right.
That's what I do, yeah. The weekend's hot movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. We take a look at who the winners are and who not so much win. Tangled finally beat Harry Potter at the box office, made $21.5 million. Congratulations to the Rapunzel retelling. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 did pretty well for itself. $16.7 million indicates that most of the people who have gone to see it, I think, have gone to see it by now. Mm-hmm. It's only made $400 billion. So it was a tie at third between Unstoppable and Burlesque.
Really?
There's a double feature. $6.1 million made it. So fifth was Love and Other Drugs and Megamind Due Date Faster, The Warrior's Way. And its debut made $3.1 million. Put it at number nine at the list. And the next 3 days, rounding out your top ten at the box office. I don't like celebrities who are douchebags.
Me either.
And so I've decided that Josh Duhamel is no longer on my list of people I like.
Why? What did he do?
He's one of these guys, apparently. He was on a flight from New York to Kentucky last Thursday. First of all, if you're flying to Kentucky, screw you.
I think that's where he's from, isn't it?
Well, that makes sense. Because he was texting on his BlackBerry.
Right.
And they were going to take off. And they said, sir, you have to turn off your BlackBerry. And he said, nope. And kept texting. And they said, sir, seriously, you have to really turn that off. We can't leave until all electronic devices have been turned off. And he said, nope.
I didn't know saying no was an option. That's cool.
The flight attendant asked him for a third time. Then at that point, Josh laughed in his face.
Oh, nice.
Well, they turned that jet around and went back to the terminal. And Josh was escorted off the plane by security so that the plane could take off and go on
love
its
it.
Way to
excellent.
I love it because of what happened to Josh Duhamel. But I don't love it for the other 150 people on the plane who now are running an hour late because of him. That's
well,
for sure.
That's why he's a douchebag.
Yeah. Yeah.
He sure is. No kidding.
His representative says Josh is very sorry about the situation.
Yeah.
I'm sure
the
he
situation
is.
Was on the plane?
Oh, man. Wow. It's just Monday. It's just Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's really regretful. That's why he said
no,
three times
it.
And laughed at someone trying to do their job. Because he's very, very sorry.
Yeah. At any point, did he say, hey, I'm the guy in Transformers, I get a pass, or anything like that? Did he try to excuse it away? Or
he said,
just
this BlackBerry is actually a robot from space that's here to save us. That's what he said, but no one bought it. Yeah. Bean, when are you moving?
What's going on?
Well, I just found out that there's a beautiful acre of land outside of Lincoln, Montana for sale.
Right.
Just $70,000. It can be yours. You have to build a house, of course, because the original log cabin that was sitting on that property is now in the museum in Washington, D.C.
Because it was owned by?
Oh, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber.
Yeah!
That's where he had his little corner of the world tucked away where he would write his strongly worded letters to people he didn't like who thought they weren't doing the right thing, like saying daylight savings time instead of saving. He would send them a bomb in the mail. Who do we know like that?
I thought about buying it, but it's not remote enough. That's the problem. It's too close to town.
But it's very sort of death-related and psychopath-related, and I know you love to collect that stuff.
That's true. You do.
No electricity, no water out that way either, though.
Yeah, well, there you
Someone's
go.
Done a lot of research.
I enjoy the comforts of home.
Right, but that's not the point. The point is, how do you know that there's no electricity and no running water and all that stuff?
I like to stay current.
You guys were mentioning the Hoff earlier today.
Yeah.
Hoff tells People magazine that some people would be mortified if there was a video on the internet that featured them drunk off their ass, eating a burger off the floor, slurring their words in front of their young daughter.
Wait a minute, all people wouldn't?
Some people would. But not David Hasselhoff.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
He says he's grateful But because before that footage hit, he was a runaway train, he says, with no control.
Right.
But seeing that video gave him a serious wake-up call, and he thinks it was God's way of telling him to stop drinking. Really? I thought it was your baby girl's way of telling you to stop drinking when she was begging you and you're eating a burger off the floor.
It's God's way.
Yeah. And that's what got him sober.
But
he neglects to mention in the story that he was hospitalized for alcohol poisoning about four times after that video was released.
Yeah,
that's what I
kept
was
going
say.
Back, kept going back.
So, tell me you're going to stop.
The voice of God right there.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
Huh? I'll be fine.
God's a 12-year-old girl, it turns out. Listen, David Hasselhoff, if God wanted you to stop drinking, he would kill you. Which is the way we all hoped God would go, but turns out God's merciful.
Yeah.
More trouble with that Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark Bono and Edge musical that's on Broadway. This time, one of the female leads was hit in the head by a piece of scenery and knocked unconscious.
Oh, my God.
You seem to have all the moving parts to that working.
She has been temporarily out of the show due to a concussion. Natalie Mendoza is the name of the actress, and the producers say she could be back in the show as soon as tomorrow. Her understudy has been performing in her place, and Natalie has been fitted for a protective helmet so that she can go back on stage. See, this is why I don't like the head-to-head blows in Broadway. This is why we have to crack down.
That's true.
The refs have to start calling these calls.
There's no, that's
not the, because Broadway isn't a contact sport. We recognize that, but because it's for the health of the players.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the NFL.
No, that's right. That's I get those Broadway. Two confused. I get Broadway and football confused all the time.
Very different.
They're very similar to me. Casting news, Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. Are we working together in the same movie? That sounds funny. Automatically.
Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Warner Brothers says there's no official start date yet, but it'll be out sometime in 2012 because it stars Will and Zach as presidential candidates battling against each other.
Love it.
Sounds very funny. And, of course, they want to get it out in time for the elections of 2012, so that's when the release date has been planned for, and I'm laughing already just thinking about the possibilities. Another movie we've been waiting a long time for apparently has been stalled yet again. Ernie Hudson, who you may remember, was one of the original Ghostbusters in Ghostbusters 1 and 2, said that everything's in place. They're just waiting on Bill Murray to finally put his stamp of approval on the script for Ghostbusters 3. Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis are writing, along with a couple other folks. And he says it's all good to go, but Bill has to say yes or it's not going to happen.
Bill, one of those weirdos, doesn't have representation.
Yep. Yes.
No phone.
No manager.
No manager.
No manager, no agent.
So they have to take the
script. He's got an 800 number.
Is that true?
A private 800 number. But it's not available anywhere. You have to find it somehow. You have to search, contact somebody who knows Bill or has worked with him, get the 800 number, then you leave a message on that number saying what the project is and what you want to talk to him about.
Right.
He screens those calls, and then we'll get back to the people that he's interested in working
with. I love that so much.
A guy who's not too eager to work, is what I'm saying. He's
and
very selective.
Some of the articles we've read about this, I mean, he'll commit to a movie verbally. He'll be on the phone with the director. He'll say, okay, I'll do your movie. And then the director will never hear from him again until Bill shows up on the first day of filming.
Yes.
Like, no kind of confirmation, no kind of discussion about how it's going to go. He just shows up, and you don't know until he does whether he's going to be there or not.
But back off, man. I'm a scientist.
He's never not been there.
That's right.
He shows up, knows the script, knocks it out. Gets on a golf cart and leaves.
Like the A-team, man, if you can find him.
If you can find him.
You can hire him.
He's crazy, but he's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone seems to think that Bill will be on board. It's just a matter of him saying yes.
Finding the 800 number and getting an answer.
Ernie says Bill Hader and Anna Faris are also actors that are being considered for the film, if and when it gets made. It's kind of hard to lock in a cast until you have a shooting schedule.
Sure.
Prepared, but those people have both been talked to by the producers as perhaps the next generation of Ghostbusters. We'll have to wait and see. Let's take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Peter Buck of REM is 54 years old today. Very talented writer and director Judd Apatow is 43 years old. Actress Lindsay Price.
Who's she?
Ring that damn bell. Ring it!
Who is she?
She is. She was in a TV series called Lipstick Jungle with Britain.
Right. Brooke Shields.
Tall girl, Brooke Shields.
Yep.
And she's been in a ton of stuff.
She is stunning. You'll love her.
Yeah.
She's a stunner. She is 34 years old. And speaking of attractive women, remember Colleen from Survivor? Colleen Haskell, remember her?
Was it the first season?
It may have been. I think it might have been the Richard Hatch season, yeah.
And she was in one movie, right?
The Animal. Yeah.
The Animal, and then never heard
Rob
from
Schneider.
Again. Like, dropped off the face of the earth.
Really? How did The Animal not catapult her into stardom?
Hey, that was a big hit, man.
I think she just decided not to pursue an acting career anymore. She wasn't very good in it.
She was sort of cute,
adorable,
wasn't she?
Very adorable. Yeah.
But thanks to Colleen, we got one of the best songs ever, right?
We do.
Colleen, you're beautiful, Colleen. You're beautiful, Colleen.
Wow.
You're beautiful.
Oh, I miss him so much.
I miss that dude. Remember that guy's Richard Hatch song?
Yes.
Do you have that ready? Do you have that handy, Bean?
Why don't we do that next hour?
All right. Okay, if you say so. She is 34 years old today, Colleen Haskell. Happy birthday, Colleen. We miss you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. An update from TMZ.com coming up. And next hour, by the way, we're going to be looking for you if you were named after a fictional movie character. Got a story about Lando Calrissian in the news, and we're going to want to talk to you coming up here on The Kevin Bean Show. First, though, who wants to give away some tickets in the pit for night number one of Almost Acoustic Christmas, huh?
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Tease, tease, tease. Now, it's been a while since we played this game, but if I recall, Kevin, tell me if I'm wrong, you spin the wheel, it lands on a celebrity, then that celebrity steps into the booth and reads lyrics from one of the songs that will be played by one of the bands on number one, right?
That explains why the stars are hanging out in the hallway.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. All right. So we got contestants on the line, so let's just take them in order and start off with, is it Eber? Eber? Eber?
Eber.
Huh? Hello.
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 Yeah. We're going to spin the wheel and find out which celebrity you get, and then you'll listen up for a song, and then all you have to do is identify the song by title and artist. So let's spin the wheel and see what happens.
Good luck.
Oh, Homer Simpson. Homer.
Yeah.
How about that?
Woo-hoo.
All right, Homer's going to read some lyrics, then you have to tell us the band and the song title.
All right.
Time is never time at all. You can never, ever leave without leaving a piece of youth. And our lives are forever changed. It will never be the same. The more you change, the less you feel. Believe. Believe in me. Believe.
Well done, Homer. Well done. Eber, what do you think?
Oh, man.
Not a chance in hell.
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not even trying. All right. No. Smashing Pumpkins, Tonight Tonight was that song. Thanks for playing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I wanted to say.
Homer, thank you very much for stopping by. Let's try Al, contestant number two. Hi, Al. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
You've got Sarah Palin reading your lyrics. Congratulations.
Oh, gosh.
Hi, Hi, Governor. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Yeah.
Okay, here goes. Here it goes nothing. Okay. Wink. Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning. They yearn for the cup.
The Distance by The Cakes?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes, nicely done.
Well done.
Oh,
you are in the drawing,
the
my friend.
You're going to the drawing.
All right, Governor, thanks for stopping to go out and kill another caribou, would you?
Oh, you lamestream media types.
Let's try Kevin, line three. Kevin, sorry about the name. You ready to play?
Yeah.
All right, here is Tom DeLonge.
All
How
right.
about that?
Yeah.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. It was me against the world. I was sure that I'd win. The world fought back, punished me for my sins. And they tried to warn me of my evil ways. But I couldn't hear what they had to say. Yeah.
Not a Blink-182 song, but what song, what artist doing that one right there?
Tupac.
Yes, it was Tupac.
Close. Social Distortion, I Was Wrong, that one was called. Thank you for playing, though.
I wish we could give something for being funny.
Yeah. Hey, what happened to the deal where we have the songs and then we play them after the thing? We don't do that anymore?
No.
Okay.
Too much work.
Nolan, line four. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Listen up.
William Shatner is going to be reading your lyrics.
Oh, the captain.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Nah. Nah. Nah, 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 nah. 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 Nah, 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 nah. Nah, 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 nah. Nah, 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 nah.
Oh, you were right on the title, but you don't know the band? I'm sorry. It was My Chemical Romance is what we were looking for.
Wow.
Nice try.
He doesn't effing know.
He doesn't effing know. All right, so far only Al is in the running for the tickets. Let's try Lenny, see how he does on line five. Hi, Lenny, listen up.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. Let me spin again. Nope. Hold on one more time.
Come on.
It's landing on Harrison Ford. The guy's never going to get it.
That's the best.
What? All right, Harrison Ford. Good luck.
This is not an attempt on the emergency broadcast system. Where Malibu fires and radio towers.
Harrison, you're going to have to speak up because he has to identify the lyrics.
I can't hear him.
I know.
Inspired to dance again. And I cannot believe the media, Mecca. They're only trying to peddle reality.
Okay.
Okay. Bean says okay.
Not even fair.
Lenny?
Ford, I can't hear you, man.
Ford? Come on,
again?
Ford.
Should I do it again?
Yeah, do it again.
Yes.
All
right, I'll get closer to the mic. All right. This is not a test of the emergency broadcast system where Malibu fires and radio towers conspire to dance again. And I cannot believe the media, Mecca. They're only trying to peddle reality.
Wow, you really blasted that.
Yeah, you did. Nice. You're screaming. Why are you yelling at us, Harrison?
Really
Jesus.
About that.
All right, Lenny, that was loud enough, right?
Yeah, but I didn't get it.
Oh, sorry.
Why did I strain my voice then?
I don't know. You're going to have to rest it for a couple of days.
You're going to be sore. That was Los Angeles is Burning by Bad Religion. Thank you, Mr. Right, Ford, for stopping by. All right, I think we have time for just one more on the wheel here. And it's all right, Harrison, you can step out. You're done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nicole, our final contestant on the Kevin and Bean Show, thanks for calling in. How are you, my dear?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Listen up.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
We are good. The great Al Pacino will be reading
all this. Oh, Pacino. Come on now.
Hi, Al.
Oh, seriously.
Oh, seriously. Are you listening? Whoa. Oh. Sing it back. Ah. Oh. So, tell me what you need. Tell me, what do I need? Oh!
All right.
Well, I'm not sure what's happening here, but
Nicole, great song. What? Who's the title and artist, please?
Jimmy Eat World.
Yes. Song title.
Sweetness.
Yes. Is
come on now.
Wow. Very impressive. All right, so we got Al in the running. Also, Nicole, both great competitors. Unfortunately, only one can win pick tickets for night number one. Who's it going to be, Lisa?
It's going to be Al.
All right.
Al is okay. Hey.
Right on.
Nicely done, Al.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations, Sarah Palin and you teamed up nicely.
Right on, Al.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Every Monday on the program, we catch up with our friends at TMZ.com. Usually it's Harvey Levin. Harvey unavailable today, so then I'm sure we have Dax on the phone, right? Oh, wait, where's Dax? Who the hell's Mike? That's what I want to know. Hey, Mike.
We just keep getting bumped down.
Show.
What's
guys,
going on?
How are you?
We're good. What, do the good shows get Harvey and Dax? What happened to us, man? What's going on?
Yeah, I guess so. No, actually, everybody else just gets to have vacation, but not me.
Oh, good.
I get to be here at 5 in the morning every day, no matter what day it is.
Nice.
Now, Mike, we of course, all watch the TMZ TV show. Check your local listings for times near you. Which guy are you on the show? How would we recognize you?
I'm the slightly larger gentleman with the black T-shirt and the spiky hair that sits in the chair.
Oh, I know who you are.
Did you guys see SNL? Apparently they spoofed TMZ, and they did like this WikiLeaks TMZ thing, right? And it's funny because every time, the physical attribute they could have used to play me could be my goatee, the spiky hair. What do? They always get like an obscenely fat guy.
Of course.
In the chair, you know, and it's just like, oh, hey, that's probably Mike because it's a really fat guy.
That was you got to admit, though, and I know you guys put it up on the site, too. It was really funny, though. Kevin, they did WikiLeaks. They had Julian Assange, you know, the guy who's been, you know, dumping all those documents all the way. And they did a new TMZ version of WikiLeaks where they would show like upskirts of Hillary Clinton getting out of a car and stuff like that. Mike, you guys must have loved that in the newsroom, right?
Yeah, it's hilarious. But how I knew about it is I actually was out partying. We had our Christmas party for TMZ. And somebody called me. They're like, hey, they did it again. I said, what? Oh, they spoofed TMZ and they used a fat guy for you.
Yes.
How'd you know it was me? Well, the guy was huge. Great.
Okay, good.
It's just, what a weird job you have to work on TMZ and then have somebody on the SNL cast playing you on television. It's just weird. All right, let's talk about a couple things, Mike, since we got you on the line. We have been fascinated with the story, and I hope our listeners have too, of how this Britney Spears tape thing is going to be resolved. If she is claiming it's absolutely not her voice on the tape, claiming that her current boyfriend has hit her in the past, and Star Magazine is claiming and Radar Online are claiming that it is, what's going to end up happening? What's the resolve of this thing going to be? Because somebody's getting sued, right?
Yeah, well, it's weird. It's almost a lose-lose situation because, number one, if Jason Alexander, which, by the way, isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, obviously.
Right.
But if this guy, if he is claiming that it's real 100%, he's going to back it, and Britney Spears' camp is going to kind of let that go, well, they can probably go get him for fraud. You know, they could go and try to figure out, well, if it's fake, we can call the prosecutors in L.A., let's get this guy arrested, blah,
right.
blah. But if he sticks by his story, like I said, that it's real and it ends up being real, here's the problem. Now he's committed a felony because in the state of California, you can't tape somebody on the phone without their knowledge.
So he loses
so either
way.
He loses.
Wow.
Interesting. Now, every expert that we've seen, including on your show, has said that the tape is so heavily manipulated that it's very difficult to get a positive voice ID on it. I mean, is it possible this is going to be the type of thing that will never be resolved scientifically one way or another?
Well, I mean, we're told, like you said, that it doesn't sound like her from people that know her. And, yes, it's manipulated. But, you know, the issue is I'm hearing there's about an hour and a half of tape of this phone conversation. So it's edited heavily because of that reason, I think. And to be honest, you know, you never know with the tabloids and whether stuff is real or not. But the reality is I'm leaning towards this is Britney Spears on the phone.
You are? Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's just me personally, because of the things that she's saying. She's using her manager and some of the people by first name that I don't think a lot of people know who these people are.
So right.
I don't know. And the other thing is, remember this, Jason Alexander did the interview. His face was on the cover of that magazine. If this guy made some fake tape, you sell it and you run away. You go back to Alabama or where the hell that guy's from. You just get out of here.
If you're
right?
smart.
If you're swat, yeah, I guess you're right.
You know what I mean?
Smart,
like, this guy could be an idiot because, obviously, I mean, even if it's her, he could get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think if Britney Spears wants to keep, you know, playing that it's not her and that's what they think, then, yeah, they're probably going to sue for defamation. And although the problem is, what are you going to get from Jason Alexander? His
tractor? That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, what are you going to take from him? But I guess, you know, Star Magazine and them could be on the hook for this, too.
Yeah. Harvey has said that Britney Spears does not even have a cell phone. Is that possible in the 21st century that a girl in her 20s doesn't have a cell phone?
Well, remember, Britney Spears was in the psych ward at UCLA not that long ago. So I think what happened was they took a lot of the stuff from her. I don't think that she needs a cell phone necessarily. If she needs something, she's got 18 security guards, 12 maids, and 5, you know, assistants. So just call them or, you know, send a smoke signal or something. She doesn't really need a cell phone. So that's what
you imagine if she actually had a cell phone, how many times she would misplace it?
Yes.
Oh, every day, all day. I mean, who's seen my cell phone?
Yeah.
No, oh, who's seen my cell phone, y'all?
Make my job a lot easier because I just call her and she'd probably talk.
That's true.
Yeah. I just think it's hilarious that Charles Manson got busted for having a cell phone in prison this week, yet Britney Spears doesn't have one. So, all right, yeah. We're almost out of time. We're talking to Mike, by the way, the managing editor at TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. One other story. Is there anything in particular that you love that you wanted to talk about real quick, Mike?
Well, I think my favorite story of the day is Willie Nelson charged with pot possession.
That's
my favorite
thing.
You know, and it's like the riots. You know, if you charge this guy for marijuana possession and put him in jail, can you imagine what's going to happen? I mean, it's like, of course Willie Nelson has weed on his bus.
Right.
Like, you guys went to the show, right? Everybody did in Texas. The cops, like, did you guys not go to the show and he smoked 4 blunts on stage? Like, well, what do you think's in his bus? Like, come on.
Yeah, it's he and Snoop, really, 24-7. I mean, you just can count on that.
And they ought to get a pass because they're Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg, for God's sake.
Let them smoke weed. We're all okay with it.
Yeah. Everybody's
especially, okay. I mean, especially Willie Nelson. He's an American hero. He's a legend. He's 78 years old. Let the old man have his flowers, right?
Oh, yeah, and it's so funny. My favorite part of the story is that they apparently found 6 ounces of weed, and then that could have been a felony, but of course, lucky for him, there was only 4 ounces of weed, which, by the way, is a ton of weed on his bus.
Right.
And they're like, oh, I guess it's going to be a misdemeanor.
It's
now,
just a misdemeanor.
Felony.
Yeah, that will at least not they went that jail. Direction with it.
At least he won't go to jail. That's the good news.
Well,
all right.
I talked to somebody related to him, and you know what? All you had to say about it was he felt bad because he lost 6 ounces of weed.
No, there you go.
All right, Mike, thank you so much. TMZ.com is the site. TMZ Television, check your local listings. Have a great week, man. Thanks for coming.
All right, guys.
Thank
you, guys.
Guys. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:39.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, congratulations again to Christine, the new Miss Double December 2011. If you weren't with us on Friday for the live pageant show that we did, you missed out on a hell of a time. And I'm happy to say that there are not only a 100-and-something pictures up at KevinandBean.com, but now there is a video recap of the day as well.
Yeah.
Apparently, the radio station's been around for a long time. This show's been around for a long time. Apparently smashed all previous online records in terms of the webcast for Friday. And well-deserved, by the way. Some great competition this year. But I'm very happy for Christine. She's going to be an awesome Miss Double D. But please check out the video at KevinandBean.com.
See what happens when you put me in a tux?
That's what it is.
That was the draw?
It was you in the tux?
That's what I'm saying. Was I in a tux?
Yes.
And did we break records? Yes.
But were there 10 super hot chicks?
Put a little equal sign between those two facts.
The girls had nothing to do with it.
Girls.
What if it were Steve-O? What if Steve-O was the draw? You ever think about that?
No, I did not think about that.
Steve-O came out. He was so wildly popular that we had to send him backstage because we had to finish some stuff up first and then bring him back out.
Too much of a distraction.
Yeah. All right. It's time for one of our favorite features, which is...
Fetch That Info Bean.
Bean has Asperger's, and that is a highly functioning autistic disease. Nope. He has a super high IQ, but zero social skills.
Yeah.
Nope. And there's no conversations with people. It's basically just a monologue one way from him, right. And then he has no way of sensing if anyone else in the room or if anybody that he's talking to is interested in what he's talking about.
Nope.
I'm sorry?
Nope.
As Dr. Drew describes it, it's a lack of empathy, so you don't recognize whether someone is interested in what you're saying or how they feel or anything. There's a disconnect between Bean and the rest of humanity.
So while we play songs, Bean entertains the room with what he thinks is good conversation. We keep trying to tell him to stop it. Now, before I read these, Bean, we don't need more. We don't need further clarification.
What I meant by that was...
We need less of this. That's why
what
it's
I'm
called...
saying. I brought that,
that info, Bean.
I haven't decided whether to buy the Women of Curling calendar yet.
And then I wrote down Psycho Mike says, oh. And then Bean says, I bought it last year.
I did.
And then
I have the 2000.
That's that info, Bean.
No one says anything. And then Bean takes a beat and then he says, I can't figure it out this year.
That's his dilemma. That's his big... Been complicated
the women
decision making
of curling.
You have
calendar.
To admit,
how far down on the list of hot chick calendars is that?
Do you remember how hot
the
curlers are in Canada for the Olympics for the curling team?
Are,
no, come on,
are there no calendars for Victoria's Secrets? Are there no
I think
calendars?
There are,
no,
actually.
There aren't. There's no Playboy calendars.
None of those.
Nothing.
Wow.
No
knew?
Katy Perry calendars. No, just curling. Just now, curling women.
Now Bean has realized that the rule in the room is you can't say anything. So now Bean will pinpoint somebody and you know, pin him down. So now it's even harder because he'll talk to Mike specifically.
Yeah. I like Meredith Vieira with the glasses, Mike.
And because... then Mike says nothing. And then Bean says, what do you think?
Trying like, to suck him in.
Trying to just reel him in.
Now it's like a scud missile. Now it's like a smart bomb.
And then Mike says nothing. And then Bean says, why do I get the feeling that Kevin is writing all this down? And then Psycho goes, and then Bean says, Meredith is really pretty.
But she is really pretty.
But hotter with the glasses.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Again, I say,
thanks for that info, Bean.
If this
were that info, Bean.
Come on, let me talk. If this
were that info, Bean.
I like Michael Bublé. He's a talented mother effer.
So Psycho Mike moans. And then Bean says, you don't like him, Mike? And then Psycho Mike gets close to the microphone and goes, I'm under strict rules not to talk to you about stuff like this.
What's not to like about
Bean
Michael Bublé? Come on.
Hey! This is a valid conversation about a current artist. This can't be thanks to that info, Bean.
Thank you. Good
thanks
point,
that
Bean.
Info, Bean.
And then I said, I'll be the judge of that.
at any workplace in the
thanks
world,
that info, Bean.
Employees
we
talk to each other about things that are going on.
Yeah, talk to each other. Talk to each other, not be talked at.
Every conversation has to start with somebody saying something,
yes,
though.
Yes, and all of those conversations are something that the other person wants to talk about. You're missing that link.
You guys are music fans, though. Michael Bublé is an enormously popular artist.
He's not a talented mother effer.
Yes, he is.
Well, that's a little overstatement, don't you think? He's successful. Guys, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer sold over 11 million copies.
Thanks for that info, B.
Wow. Mike, it's timely. Mike, did you know that the Slurpee used to be called an Icy?
Thanks for that info, B.
God damn you.
Yeah.
Mike, how do you put up with this?
Yeah.
He just ignores him like
shrug,
we all do.
Shrug and deal with it. Yeah.
Somehow you have given him the green light to go to you with this stuff.
No, he doesn't, knowing that Mike's kind. Mike is sort of mini-bean.
Yeah, he can't get caught up.
Yeah, so he sort of can. Bean knows he's kind of got him on his side.
Anything he says, there's a chance Mike might say, "Oh, I saw a special on that on the History Channel last night,"
and I'm throwing stuff at him. Yeah.
You know why? Because Mike is a curious man, also, and Mike is interested.
That's that info, Bean.
This is where Lisa finally lost it. Bean says, I can't hear you right now. I'm reading about Christopher Cross's Christmas CD.
Oh, F you.
And Lisa shouts, shut the F up.
Oh, thanks for that info, Bean.
And finally, another burn. See, Bean says, I can't hear you right now. When no one's talking.
I can't hear you because I'm reading about a CD.
Yes.
That's what he said.
But
once he gets his ears stop working, once his eyes engage.
But the point is that no one's speaking, so there's nothing to hear. But he wants you to know, if you were talking, he wouldn't be able to pay attention because what he's doing is so engrossing.
Right.
Guys, I can't hear you right now. I'm looking at the video of the world's largest hornet's nest. And then no one says anything, and then Bean follows with what is the greatest Bean comment on after something like that. World's largest, right?
Right.
It's big.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Oh. I needed that clarification. It's the world's largest hornet nest, and we need the information that it's big.
It's big.
But I can't conceive of a world where somebody isn't.
That's that info, Bean.
In the world's largest hornet's nest. That's pretty impressive.
That's your problem, that you can't conceive of that world.
It was in some dude's attic. That's interesting.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know it was in a dude's attic.
Wait, was it in an attic?
Does that change everything?
You should have led with that. You buried the lead.
Tell us more.
It was really big.
That's info, Bean.
Highlights, if you want to call it that, of the new David Hasselhoff reality show for you coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, people who were named after fictional. Are we just looking for movies, by the way, or can it be anything? Can it be any books? Can it be songs? Just a fictional character. Okay. So we'll be doing that in the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The great Bob Saget joins us later, too. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Did you pronounce highlights that way for our Jewish friends who are celebrating Hanukkah?
No.
Is it highlights?
Said highlights coming up, the new David Hasselhoff TV show. Highlights.
I was trying to put air quotes around highlights. That's what I was trying to
do. Vocal air quotes?
There are really no highlights of a show like that.
Mm. It's Monday. That means we take a look at this weekend's hot movies at the box office via Variety newspaper. And Tangled has finally moved ahead of Harry Potter in the number one slot, $21.5 million. That Disney knows how to make them some animated films.
They really do.
They've been doing it for a while now, and I guess they've got the formula down. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 came in at number 2 with $16.7 million. It was a tie for number 3. Oh, we have to go and take a look at the photo finish. See you across the wire first. Unstoppable and Burlesque. Oh, it's Burlesque by a nose.
I saw Burlesque.
Oh, Lisa, get out.
You did not.
Why don't you?
Why would
what
you?
About that movie made you think, yes, I'm going to go
with
see
a
it? Don't care.
And we just thought it would be fun and campy and stupid, which it was, but we enjoyed it.
Oh,
no, you didn't.
Yeah, we did.
Wow. No.
Oh,
you're dead to me.
Just in the mood for fun and campy.
Wow.
Damn it.
Wow.
Look how many movies are out right now. Did you see The Black Swan, too?
No.
Oh, really? But you saw Burlesque. Interesting.
And watching Cher sing without her mouth move is fascinating.
Overruled.
Doesn't move at all.
Damn it. Did you have to leave early to make the Dane Cook concert?
Damn it.
No, that was it for me.
I'm with Ralph.
Damn it.
It was fun.
Nope.
Come on, once in a while,
Keyboard
you can just go see something for no reason.
Cat says goodbye. Love and Other Drugs was 5th. Megamind, Due Date, Faster, The Warrior's Way, and the next 3 days rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Speaking of Dane Cook, his half-brother and half-sister-in-law, they're going to have to fork over $12 million of embezzled salary that they took from Dane.
Wow.
Dude. Really? They stole from him?
Yeah. Well, we did the story when he first got busted.
Awesome.
Remember, this is the guy who wrote himself a check from Dane Cook for $3 million?
That's right.
He was his business manager. He was his half-brother and business manager and wrote himself a check from Dane's account, signed Dane's name to himself, $3 million check. That kind of thing is going to get noticed.
You'd think.
Yeah. Apparently, They have admitted to embezzling the money. So the Massachusetts Attorney General's Office has ordered Daryl and Erica.
Yeah, Erica.
Thank you. Macaulay to pay up. Was Psycho Mike on vacation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Sorry. Usually that's his job.
It may be a while until they're able to pay back that money since they are going to prison for at least 3 years.
Wow.
So, oh.
Yeah. 27 counts of larceny, 3 counts of forgery, embezzlement, and other charges. So they got to pay, make restitutions, as they say, and pay back $12 million to Dane Cook.
They didn't even try to hide it. They just signed his name to them.
Well, they were his business managers.
Right, I know, but...
So you'd think if
you... You'd think they could be
more
creative.
Get away with that, right? Because who's going to bust you other than Dane Cook? Right. Who apparently wasn't counting his own money. He had someone else doing it for him.
It also seems like they could have written a check every day for $5,000 and probably stayed under
right.
the radar.
$3 million
rather than writing
check.
One check for $3 million, yeah.
Hmm. Or just go to the bank and say, can I have... $3 million worth of nickels, please. Yeah. See? That's how you get out. Yes. You know, you'll make a big trail that way.
Good thinking.
Mike Tyson is convinced that the eighth time is a charm when it comes to him being a dad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's expecting another child with his third wife.
Is he aware there are ways to not have that happen?
Apparently not.
Wow.
He told Larry King last week that he is going to be a committed and dedicated dad this time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This eighth time?
Yeah, the eighth time. That's now he's serious.
This time he means it.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have trouble supporting the ones he has?
He does have money troubles.
Wow.
That's for sure.
How many different moms does it say there?
Three.
Three different moms.
Three?
Yeah.
Eight kids, right?
Eight kids, three moms. And Jane Fonda is in the news, believe it or not. She is on the cover of V Magazine. It's featuring a story called Who Cares About Age? Talk about older celebrities and big-time celebrities who are getting older and how they're still staying vital and current and happy and whatnot.
And she is?
She is, but she's upset with the magazine. And this is pretty ironic because they put her on the cover of the magazine and then went completely overboard with airbrushing in a story about aging in Hollywood and how good she looks.
Oh, it's okay.
They got rid of every line.
Yeah, she says the retouching is foolish, especially given the content of the story. And they say they made her look like a monster. So now she is apparently furious with the editors of V Magazine.
She has a point.
Which is pretty ironic.
It is ironic, but I'm guessing they didn't make her look like a monster.
I doubt that, too. She probably just looks like a very smooth old lady. That's what I'm guessing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Peter Buck of REM is 54 years old today. Director Judd Apatow celebrates his 43rd birthday. Lindsay Price.
Yes.
Lovely and talented actress. Ring that goddamn bell. She is 34 years old. And Survivor's Colleen Haskell. She was on the very first season of that Survivor show, which has been on now 21 seasons.
Is that right?
Unbelievable.
Been 21 Survivors.
Wow.
She is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got plenty of chances for you to win your tickets in the pit for this weekend. Wow, it's hard to believe it's already here. Almost Acoustic Christmas Concerts. Two big nights. The first is Saturday night. Second is Sunday night. We got tickets you can win for both, including when you hear Animal by Neon Trees. That's how you win pit tickets for night number 2. We'll be playing that sometime soon here on the Kevin and Bean Show. When you hear Animal by Neon Trees, just be caller. I don't have it in front of me. Is it 20? Usually it's 20.
It is caller. Doesn't say.
Okay. I guess we're supposed to just assume. Or somebody is.
Caller,
anyway,
let's go with 20.
Let's say 20.
Yeah. All right.
All right. That is coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Caller 21. I'm being told now. That is not a joke.
Really?
Seriously. 21.
All right.
Because it's the 21st annual, so they're...
Oh, that's why. It's interesting 21. That they don't put stuff like that on the paper for the people who actually need it to use. Okay. Let's turn our attention now to an interesting story that... Ralph had a story about a guy named Lando Calrissian in the Showbiz Beat, but I saw an article a few weeks ago in Entertainment Weekly talking about how parents are always looking for inspiration when it comes to naming their kids. Let's face it, Kevin, you've been through that.
Yeah.
You are looking for a name that you like, that the kid is going to like, that in some cases it's not too hard to spell, that maybe isn't the same as everybody, the same name that everybody else in the world has.
But it's not a hook for embarrassment.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors involved, and many people turn to fictional characters to look for names for their kids. That's the inspiration.
And those people are bad.
I don't necessarily think that's true.
Depends on the name.
Come on.
I don't think you're bad. If a name is a good name, it doesn't really matter where it comes from, I don't think.
Well, it depends if it's identifiable. I mean, if it's Bill after Bill Murray, then it's no big deal. But
all right, but let me tell you about
Darth Vader, you know, then it's problems.
The two fastest rising names on the baby list right now are both names from television characters. Sookie, based on Anna Paquin's character on True Blood.
Mm-hmm. Right. Terrible.
Very popular name right now.
Terrible.
Fast on the way up.
A terrible name.
Now, why is that a terrible name?
Sookie.
Because
they're going to spend their whole lives. People are going to go, what is that?
Yeah, and you can make fun of that name pretty easily.
Until it becomes widespread.
Used to watch a show called True Blood.
But there are lots of names that sound bizarre the first time you hear them, and then they end up becoming so mainstream that nobody ever thinks about them again.
And Sookie is not ever going to be in that category.
Well, we'll see, I guess. The other name is Castile. Now, I don't watch the show, but apparently that's the name of an angel on The Supernatural, which is a CW show. Castile is a popular name coming up fast and furious.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
I don't watch The Supernatural. I don't think I get the CW. But anyway, those are two of the names that are in the news. We're looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you were named after a fictional character, doesn't have to be in movies. It could be in television. It could be in literature. There are lots of kids out there, for instance, who are named Atticus or Scout from To Kill a Mockingbird. That's one of the most pop. That book and movie spawned enormously popular names as a result of its success. Lando Calrissian in the news. Maybe there aren't too many of those,
right.
But obviously he's named after the Star Wars character. He's a 24-year-old who was named after Lando Calrissian, the character from The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, played by Billy Dee Williams. He's in the news, by the way, because he shot a man in a gang fight. But
right.
He
was making fun of his name.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that, but maybe so, Lisa.
His name was being made fun of, and he pulled a gun.
And look what happened.
That happened.
It doesn't go well.
Ralph did the story this week because he jumped bail. He's been on the run, and almost 5 years later, they finally caught him and arrested Lando Calrissian. So now he's behind bars.
This isn't the murderer you're looking for. His buddy did that for him. Speaking of Star Wars, did you see the other story I read this week when we're talking about this? About a man and a woman, last name Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. That was their last name. And they named their son. They've got a school photo of him. You can see with the name underneath. His first name is Jed, middle name Isaac, middle initial I. So he is Jed I. Knight.
See how creative they are?
Jed I. Knight.
Yeah.
That's his name that he has to live with. And he goes by Jed, capital I, Knight. That's how he writes.
Does?
That's how it was listed in the school book. Kid's like 8 or something.
Oh, so he doesn't know.
Yeah,
doesn't know.
I bet when he grows up,
he's
going to
leave
that
out
eye.
The eye.
The parents keep pushing the eye.
Yeah.
Wow.
Guys, if he's 8, he not only knows about it, he probably loves it.
Well, he won't eventually.
Love Star Wars.
Crazy.
No, 8-year-olds
maybe
love
they do,
Star Wars.
But do they like to be named Jedi Knight?
I bet he does.
I bet he
will like it until puberty, and then
I think that's right. I think he absolutely will turn on it. But I think when you're 8, it's pretty awesome.
If my name was Batman Garmin at 8, I would have been the happiest little boy in the
exactly.
world.
Until you got the hell beaten out of you repeatedly.
Nobody beats out of Batman.
Yeah. Well, they do if you're a little kid. Batman.
You're trying to beat me up.
By the way, we're gonna take your calls 1-800-520-1067. If you were named after a fictional character, also enormously popular in recent years as a result of the Twilight movies are all names associated with Twilight.
Sure.
Jacob and Edward and Bella. Very, very popular
but
names.
Homo.
Those stand alone, though, apart from the movie series. Like, you don't necessarily, if you see a Jacob, you don't necessarily think of Twilight.
Could be a Lost fan, right?
I have a friend who named her daughter Taylor. Perfectly normal name, but she actually named her after Lisa Rinna's character in Melrose Place years ago.
Wow.
Loved the show, and that's where she got the idea for the name.
Recently, Bruce Willis said his parents named him after Bruce Wayne.
No kidding.
Yeah, after Batman's Secret Identity.
Oh, that's funny.
Let's talk to Laura. Laura's on line one. She is the mom who gave her kid a fictional character name. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, you guys.
Hi.
My daughter's name is Cordelia, and we named her after the character Cordelia Chase from the TV show Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She used to work on that show.
Oh, now let me ask you about this. Was that a real name before the TV show came along, or did they invent it?
You know, it's my brother told me, and he's a huge literary buff. My brother told me that it was actually The Good Daughter from King Lear, the book King Lear.
Right.
So if we want to sound really smart, we tell people, oh, yeah, we named her after King Lear.
Yeah, you should go with that one.
If we want to be pop culture, we say, oh, we named her after Cordelia from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You go with the first one.
But I would be willing to bet, Lauren, I don't know if this is the case. It doesn't sound like it's the case with you, but there are people who are introduced to a name, and it doesn't even matter that it comes from a television character, a movie character, a book character. They don't even care. They may not even be that familiar with or even like that much. They're not naming it after that person, but they just have heard the name for the first time, and it strikes a chord with them. They like it.
Well, you know, what happened with us was that we wanted to name her a C name because my mother had passed away, and we were trying to find a C name, and we couldn't agree on a name that we liked with C. And then I was at work with him one day, and like I said, he used to work on the TV show, and I was at work with him one day sitting in the bay with him while he was working, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden the character came on, and I heard Buffy say, Cordelia, and we kind of had that moment where we looked at each other.
And I said,
that's it. And he goes, that's it. And I said, Cordelia. And you know what? She is a Cordelia. She could not be any other name. That is her personality. That is who she is.
But, so she's like possessed by demons and stuff?
No, I just mean she's quirky and creative and original and like she couldn't be, you know, a Jennifer or a, you know what I mean? Like she is that name.
Hey, let's not mock Jennifer's because they're all hot. Yeah. I take your point.
Was that Charisma Carpenter on the show?
Yes. Even the name Laura, you know, it's pretty common. She's not a common child, so the name is perfect.
No, your child's special. Yeah, your child's unlike any other child. Yeah. No, your child. No, absolutely. Your child's one of
the That's why she deserves the best name that you can get from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, she does.
I know. She's remarkable. She is extraordinary.
Thank you for
get
the call,
her in a special class. She's magical.
I wonder how Cordelia is going to feel when she grows up and realizes that her parents wanted to name her the C word.
C word.
All right, let's do one more before we have to take a break. Let's talk to Tracy. Tracy's on line 7. We want to take your calls, too.
I was named after Tracy Morgan.
If you have named someone or you are named after a fictional character, we want to hear from you. Tracy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, you guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. My nephew's name is Zachary Skywalker.
Zachary Skywalker.
Yeah.
Middle name is Skywalker?
Middle name is Sky because their last name is Walker.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, my brother-in-law wanted to name him Luke, and my sister put her foot down, and so he got away with Skywalker. But
so didn't know Luke, but Zachary.
Yes.
Zach Skywalker sounds like his like loser brother or something who never got off of Tatooine.
He's the brother that could never do anything.
He's the one Luke has to send money home to back on Tatooine because he just can't get his act together. That's horrible. If you're going to go with Skywalker, addict. You might as well go with Luke, right?
He's a drug addict. He's living under a rock. Poor kid.
Thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls on this. Why don't we return on the Kevin and Bean? By the way, we're taking phone calls right now on people who are named or who have named their kids after fictional characters. Here's an email from somebody named Steve Austin, who was named after the $6 Million Man in hopes that his parents named him after the $6 Million Man, hoping he would be rich. Too bad I'm broke, he says. He must have had a few crappy years being named after the $6 Million Man, then a few lean years where nobody had ever heard of him. And then when the wrestler Steve Austin came along, it must have been a whole new round of hell. Like, what are the chances another famous person with the exact same name is going to come around in your lifetime?
Yeah, probably pretty slim.
So I don't know what it's like for him now, but I guarantee he gets a lot of people asking about the wrestler. So that's no fun, right?
Let's talk to Kyle, because Kyle may have made a serious mistake. Hi, Kyle.
How's it going?
Good. You named your son what?
Dexter.
Dexter.
Why? Why would you do that?
Because he's a serial killer on Showtime, and he wants
Dexter's
his son to,
awesome.
To grow up and be a serial killer.
But did you name your kid after Dexter's laboratory before the Dexter Showtime series came on?
No.
You named him after the serial killer, Dexter.
Yes.
Oh, he's going to love that.
All right.
Oh, but he's got good intentions. So
sure. He has good intentions, and he takes out bad people, but he's a serial killer.
Sure. Who cares?
Okay.
Who cares
all right.
The bad people.
Did you have any trouble convincing your wife that Dexter was the way to go, or did you kill her before your son was named?
No, she loved it.
She loved it. All right.
You two are perfect for each other.
Thank you.
Social services. Thank you.
Let's try Jordan, line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jordan. Thanks for hanging on. Welcome. What's going on?
My sister-in-law is named Arwen after the elf lady from Lord of the Rings.
That's nice.
What's the name?
Arwen?
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
A-R-W-E-N.
Arwen. Yeah, that's a bad name.
It's kind of a pretty name.
Except for that everybody's going to have to ask, what was that again?
Yeah.
And then you have to say
how
Arwen.
How do you spell it?
And then she'll say, oh, is my parents named me after Lord of the Rings. Like that whole story has to happen, right?
Yeah.
Every day, yeah.
And she's like 28, so nobody knew what it was at all until a few years ago when the movies came out. And they're like, oh, like Lord of the Rings. And yeah, it was kind of awkward for a while.
Good times.
Okay, thank you for the call.
Nice work.
Raphael on line 5. Psycho Mike, you're going to be very excited to learn where Raphael got his name.
My dad gave it to me, and he was a big fan of the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, there you go. Named after a freaking Ninja Turtle.
Oh my God.
He wanted to make sure that you could fight early.
Dude, if you want to get laid, you get to say you're named after the artist.
Right, because all the Ninja Turtles are named after artists, right?
And then, I just had my son, and my sister ended up telling me that she would give me $500 if I had the rest of the Ninja Turtle clan with me.
I like it. I like it. But your family's now offering you money to do that. That's the best.
Yeah, but I didn't take her up on the offer. I'm going to have to do it next time.
You should have, yeah. You definitely should have. All right, thank you, Raphael.
Somebody in his family is going to be named Michelangelo. That's going to be weird. Let's do one more. Yeah, Eric is on line 4 on the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What'd you name your kid?
I named her Alice in Wonderland.
Allison is the first name?
Yeah, I named her Allison, A-L-Y-S, and then I-N. And then her middle name is Wonderland.
You're a terrible person.
Wow. Why
you couldn't even spell Allison normal?
Why would
really?
You do? Why would you spell it that way?
Because it's Alice, and then I-N, in Wonderland. So when you say it together,
no, we
it's
get that.
Wonderland.
We understand that, but we're trying to think about your daughter who's going to be sitting in class, and the teacher's going to go, Alice in Wonderland.
Well, here's what I thought about that already, and I figured her name is Allison, which is not
a
normal
it's
name.
Not yeah, until you F up the spelling.
Until you add a silent P to it, and now all of a sudden.
But your last name is Wonderland?
No, my her middle name is Wonderland. So
oh, okay. You didn't tell us that.
So she could keep Wonderland out of it.
And just be Allison, just be spelled Allison up in an effed up way, right?
Stupid spelling.
Exactly.
All right. Good work on both sides.
You're a bad person. Child services again.
Either way, she loses.
Last night was a very busy night on the TV, Kevin. You had the Walking Dead finale.
Sure.
You had the next to the last Dexter.
Sure.
You had the Boardwalk Empire finale.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you had Sunday Night Football and all your regular Sunday shows you love.
None of the good
Cleveland
stuff
show
yet.
And stuff like
Get
that.
To the good stuff.
A&E debuted the Hasselhoffs.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
There you go.
David Hasselhoff is back on TV with a new show, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Hoff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good. How are you?
Happy holidays to everybody.
Right. Yeah. 10-episode, half-hour series.
Yeah,
it's just
a half-hour series.
Right. Right.
So just give me half an hour, and I think if you give the show half a chance, that when you start watching it, you won't be able to turn it off.
What's the point of pimping out your family for a TV show? Or do you just need the money, David?
No, we just wanted to show what it was like to be a Hasselhoff, how challenging it could be, but how we have a lot of fun and we're very dedicated performers and we just love entertaining an audience. We like to give people a chance to laugh their asses off.
Yeah. Okay. He has two daughters. Taylor Ann is 20 and Haley is 18.
Yeah.
Here's a clip from the show where they ask him about the famous hamburger incident.
Hey, my name's Matt. I was wondering, how do you deal and react to negative press such as like the hamburger incident?
It was a wake-up call that led me to quit drinking, but I'm still addicted to cheeseburgers.
Oh, man.
I still am. I love cheeseburgers.
How do you do it?
Oh, it's hopping on.
So you are
that was right off the top of my head. That one was
sure. I'm sure they all are. Hey, David.
Yeah.
Here's you talking about being a parent.
The Rock.
Right.
I've trained as an actor. I've trained as a singer. But no one trains you to be a dad. There's no script for that.
Nope, there isn't.
You are super corny. You know that, right?
There's no script for being a dad.
Yeah.
So you just have to drink.
Yeah, and that brings me to the next clip.
Can I finish one sentence? Wasn't it one of your biggest regrets that you didn't finish Montclair and didn't walk?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Absolutely.
What did you do?
What was that?
I believe that wholeheartedly.
What was that?
Yeah, you know. You know what I mean?
What were you talking about there tonight?
I
couldn't really, I couldn't follow it though, Hoff.
Well, then maybe that's on you.
Okay. Here's his other show that he needs to reference.
If only this car could talk, I could sure use some advice.
Yeah.
I used to be in a TV series where a car talked to me.
Right, that was crazy.
Yeah, a talking car.
Right.
Kit. Yeah.
Yep. You're too...
Oh, that show went off the air, unfortunately.
It did. Yeah, it
but sure I still have a lot of fans in the world.
Listen, you're two homely daughters on the show. Why are you encouraging them to pursue show business when you know how to... One of them wants to be an actress and one of them wants to be a singer, and you know neither of them are talented,
they
right?
They have a lot of talent, guys. They are Chips Hoff the old block.
Oh, okay, but you have no talent, and you were famous. You were in the
Listen,
right place at the right time.
I've trained as an actor. I've trained
right.
as a singer.
We heard that.
But there's nobody that trains you how to be a parent.
Right.
And there's no script for that.
And
in pudding on Montclair.
What's going on?
Did you say pudding?
Well, yeah. I love pudding.
Right.
Yeah.
So
Hoff loves the pud.
You're not making any sense now, Hoff.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, to me.
To Kevin, he speaks me.
All right, so the final clip that I have is this is Hasselhoff talking about how he helps people. This is the important part.
The hamburger incident was a private tape that was taken from me and my daughter, and it never should have gotten out, and it broke my heart because my child was involved. With all the kind of negative press that I get because of being an alcoholic, which is part of my life, you're not allowed to be a regular person. If I go to the hospital or get sick or have a problem with alcohol, it's all documented. And if people can look at that and realize that someone in their family has got that same problem and they can help,
there it is.
Maybe that's why it happened.
Yes.
Sometime life gives you a wake-up call. It's how fast you get up, not how hard you fall.
Yeah.
Oh, and it rhymes.
It's inspirational.
Right. It rhymes and you're helping people.
Yeah.
Listen, if my misfortune could help one radio DJ realize that he's got a drinking problem.
What if that radio DJ admits he has a drinking problem?
Well, then we got to go out and get drunk sometime. That'd be a good time, I think, for both
of us. But you're on the wagon, though, or have you fallen off?
No, I haven't fallen off the wagon. I am still 100% sober, and I've been that since that night with the video happening.
You don't take that.
Hold on a second. I got to have a little orange juice. This morning.
Is it just orange juice, mm-hmm. though? I mean, really, mm-hmm. it should only be...
Orange juice and
fresh squeezed
happy juice.
No happy juice.
Concerns
a little
me,
potato
Hoff.
Juice. That's what they call vodka in the old country.
Yeah, don't drink that.
Be careful.
It's a good pickle.
It doesn't.
You shouldn't be doing this though.
Oh, that's Hoff. Good stuff right there.
Right.
But
I was saying, I am happy to be Hoff and
Boy, he gets drugged fast.
I will kick your car. I will do it. I will put my foot all over your
what
car.
What sense does that make?
I don't know, but I will do it. I wish the car talked. And then the car would say, don't put your foot on me. And
you sound bad.
Hey, how do I get tickets to that concert you guys are doing? Do I just come down there and pick them up?
We got to go, Hoff.
I hope everybody watches the Hasselhoff.
Right.
Sunday night.
It's
good to me.
It's hitting you hard, man.
I am.
You all right?
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
You okay?
Hoff, Hoff, Hoff.
You all right?
I am not all right. Okay. I'm all right.
Are you all right?
Nope.
Okay.
Average.
What?
What?
What'd you do? You're back.
Homeboy.
There you go.
Tell Omar that you can't just come back to life like that. It doesn't make sense.
Well, I was sober for a minute.
What?
Oh, I see. Now I'm not.
All right. You all right?
So I just want to let you know.
Uh-oh. That sounds...
I wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
And you as well. Hoffy New Year.
Gotcha. You speak this?
I speak Hoff.
Florence and the Machine on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:55.
Hey, that's that band that's playing Sunday night at the Almost Christmas concert. One of many. If you want to go, we have tickets for you in the pit. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. You're going to have to be on hold for about 10 minutes or so until we get a chance to play the game. Now, what are we doing this time? How do you win the tickets this time, Kevin?
Stump Jed this time.
Oh, Jed.
Jed is a DJ at this radio station. He's been here a long time, knows a lot of information. We did stump Rodney earlier in the week, and I don't believe, if I recall correctly, that Rodney got stumped, did he?
I think 100%. He got stumped by everyone.
He got stumped by everyone. Yes, okay. Yeah. Jed, though, knows everything because he's been around. He's seen it. He's got encyclopedic knowledge about the band. So if you know trivia about night number two bands.
Any band.
Right. Any of the bands on night number two, and you think you can stump Jed, you can call now at 1-800-520-1067.
You have to know the answer to your own question.
Correct.
We do ask that.
Yes.
So that's Phoenix, Vampire Weekend, Brandon Flowers, Black Keys, Temper Trap, Neon Trees, Florence and the Machine, we just heard, Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, and Broken Bells. If you've got trivia questions about any of those bands, you can call right now to stump Jed and win your tickets in the pit. 1-800-520-1067. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the weekend's hot movies. Tangled, number one at the box office. Animated retelling of Rapunzel by the Disney people. $21.5 million made it number one. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, part one. $16.7 million made it number two. First time it's dropped to number two since it's been out. Unstopped and Burlesque were tied for third. We found out Lisa went to see Burlesque because she was the responsible for the tie. It was going to be Unstoppable.
Yeah.
And she went to Burlesque and just gave it a little extra push, and now it's tied at number three.
It hurts. I'm going to file a complaint with the management about having to work with Lisa.
Yeah,
now,
I'm going to visit HR myself and see what I can do.
Will you co-sign that? Because it's unacceptable that we have to work with somebody who would take time to go see Burlesque over the weekend.
Murder.
What do we do? Yeah, what do we do about her? Really?
Murder button.
What do we do about her?
Once in a while, I get to do murder.
Right, but
go
this
see
is like
a stupid fun movie with a girlfriend.
But this is—it's like coming in and realizing the guy on the next cubicle's in the Klan. You can't just sit back and allow it, right? You've got to speak up. You've got to say something.
She can't go unpunished,
can
she?
Right.
She can't go unpunished.
That Kevin has gone to see over the years.
But he's retarded.
Hey!
He's retarded. That's the difference.
Brain damage.
Are you going to back them or are you going
to
back me?
I think it's insulting to us for Lisa May to say, once in a while, I get to see a dumb movie.
I do. But
every single time the movie comes out that we all say, well, this is terrible. Lisa goes, I've seen it.
Yeah,
and then
of
we
course.
All get
it's everyone.
But
that's
I see
true.
The good ones, too.
TV shows and movies. She's where entertainment goes to die.
It's true. She's a black hole of entertainment.
Oh, come on. That's not true. Murder.
I agree.
Kevin at least goes to see brainless, stupid comedies for the most part because he's, you know, not the sharpest knife
you
in the drawer, but he likes to chuckle. No.
Well, you're wrong.
It's not supposed to be.
I know. That's the best part.
Right. Rape.
That's too far.
Love
too far.
Murder.
That's
fine.
That's better.
Yeah, but come on, right? That's over the
Love line. And Other Drugs was fifth. Mega Mind, Due Date, Faster, The Warrior's Way, and The Next 3 Days was 10th at the box office this weekend. I had a great weekend. I finally got someone that was kind enough to send me a DVD copy of Tron.
Ah.
So I was able to catch up over the weekend trying to refresh my memory of Tron so when I check out Legacy, I'll be up to date.
Isn't it just dude gets sucked into a computer? Isn't that
it? Oh, Kevin.
I mean, really,
so
that's
much
it.
More going on there than
not
you
much
possibly
more than
know. It's about Flynn's relationship with Alan and how he invented the Tron program and how NCOM
murder.
Stole all of Flynn's ideas for his video games and made a multi-million dollar international corporation that was sucking up information from the internet.
Okay.
Now we find out in Legacy, the second half, Flynn is now completely absorbed into the cyber world. And his son has been abandoned.
Let me ask you this, Ralph, because I and most people listening have not seen the original Tron in some time. I know the special effects don't hold up because it's early 80s, but how's the story and the acting and everything else?
That's the only thing that keeps the movie...
It's otherwise pretty decent?
Yeah, the only thing that keeps the movie interesting is the acting. It's a very simple story, the first one. It's kind of like...
a dude gets sucked into a computer.
No, it's much more like a Gladiator movie, really.
Ooh.
And there's a lot of religious overtones. I mean, I forgot how religious this film is, where the users are sort of gods to these programs who are living their own life, and user to them is like the gods were to the Greeks or the Romans.
What the hell?
Oh, it's spectacular. It's very exciting.
What's the point of this story?
Point is, I forget.
But now you're amped and you're ready to go see the new one. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what helps, Tron?
What?
Dope.
Yes.
Getting stoned. That makes it a lot more interesting.
I believe that.
And everyone was talking about Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Who got
busted for pot recently and what a tragedy it is. And I was thinking, who would speak up? Who will stand up and be counted for when it comes to Willie Nelson, this pot bust? Who will speak out against the oppression of the marijuana smokers? Who do you think? Who do you think came to his rescue?
Let's see, marijuana.
Who likes to smoke out a lot?
Snoop!
What? Here's what Snoop had to say.
Willie Nelson is a legend, man. Realistically, y'all sometimes need to back up off of certain people and have a certain amount of respect for your elders. You know what I'm saying? Willie Nelson is our elder, man. He's somebody who lived through many decades of music and hard times and whatnot and living good and going up and down. So give him that respect. Who's the that arrested him? I want to know who's the police officer that said you under arrest, you had a right to remain silent. You dumb you. You stupid you. What you think you're gonna gain by arresting Willie Nelson? He got out and he back smoking right now.
Yeah.
Snoop. I've never heard Snoop that animated. Ever.
Haven't either.
Ever.
Ever in his life.
Never. He broke right through a purple haze to get that piece of information out to the world.
That was good.
That's the first time I've ever heard Snoop not sound high because he's so angry about what they're doing to Willie.
No, he's high, but he's just angry as well.
That's awesome.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? You ever use Craigslist? You ever go on the Craigslist?
Sure.
You ever go to Craigslist to buy yourself an old sofa or, you know, get some tickets to a concert or, you know.
Whores.
Yeah, sure. If you want to buy some whores, they took that feature away from us, by the way. Damn them.
Oh, did they? Damn.
But Craig Newmark. Craig.
The Craig?
Of Craigslist.
Oh.
Celebrates his 58th birthday today. I had no idea Craig was so old. Hmm. I pictured Craig as being a young, virile dude who likes whores and secondhand furniture.
Like the Facebook guy who's still, by the way, only 26.
Exactly.
You figure Craig's like that, right?
I had no idea Craig was around so long. Good for him, and thank you for your list. Peter Buck of REM is 54 years old today. Judd Apatow is 43. Lindsay Price celebrates her 34th birthday.
Rape.
Oh, no. Come on. And Colleen of Survivor, the very first Survivor season. She is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bob Saget joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we're going to give you your first of two chances this half hour to win tickets for the Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. This time, it's night number two with a little game we like to call Stump Jed.
Stump Jed the fish. Can you stump? Can you stump? Can you stump?
Hello?
Can you stump Jed the fish?
What if your name was Ass Whore?
Oh, no.
Stump Jed the fish. Stump.
What if your name was Ass
Whore? So, Jed is a legendary rock DJ who's been working at this station for about 30 years. Jed, we don't see you all that often, but we did see that your dog pooped in the office the other day. What happened? What was that all about?
He brought you a special gift from Mars.
Okay, it's not Mars. You understand what we're doing here. Listeners are on the line, and they're going to ask you trivia questions about bands that are playing night two of the Acoustic Christmas Concert this Sunday. So they'll call up, for instance, with a question about, Phoenix or Brandon Flowers, Edward Sharp, Broken Bells, whoever else.
Why
on the line.
Why does grapefruit juice give me boogers?
I don't know the answer to that. And you're going to answer as many as you can, and if they stump you, they go into the drawing to win the ticket. You ready to play?
Fa-la-la-la-la.
Okay, that wasn't a...
I'm going to go with yes.
Let's just take them in order, and we'll start with... Let's not take them in order. Let's start with Steve. Steve is on line two to get us going here. It's Stump Jed trying to win tickets for night number two of the Acoustic Christmas Concert. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Go ahead.
All right, Jed. Where's the band Phoenix from?
Charlie Brown's father was a barber.
Okay.
That was almost correct. All
right. Is that the answer, Steve?
No, that is not the answer.
Where are they from?
They're from Versailles, France.
They are French, yes.
Of Versailles has four windows.
It has way more windows than that, John. Steve, you hang on. You are in the drawing. Congratulations. All right, let's try another Phoenix question. Juan is calling us on line three. Hi, Juan. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Time to stump Jed.
Hey, guys. My question is, what is the Phoenix song that has all numbers?
Did you know that nutmeg can be fatal even in small doses if it were to be injected intravenously?
Okay, let's stay on track, though. He's asking about a Phoenix song that you've played, Jed, the title of which is all numbers. What is it?
96 Tears.
No, I'm sorry.
That's close.
Tell Jed what you were looking for, Juan.
1901.
Yeah, we thought pretty easy. Actually, thanks for the call. You're in the drawing. Hang on.
1901, the birth date of Diamond Jim Brady.
Let's try Christina. Christina is on line 8, calling us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Christina. Get ready to stump Jet. Good luck.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Okay, which album did Danger Mouse help produce?
A cat has 32 muscles in each of its ears.
Jet. Jet.
Totaling 64 ear muscles for the feline.
Right. She's talking about bands that are playing
pussycat,
Sunday night.
Pussycat, how are your ears?
Okay. Is it the cat has that many muscles? Is that the answer you're looking for, Christina?
Nope.
Speaking of cats, did you know that tigers have striped skin, not just striped fur?
Okay.
If you were to shave a tiger, which would probably be difficult because they're strong and mean.
We got time for a couple more. Let's try Chris. Chris is on line 7. An interesting question about one of the bands playing night 2. Chris, go ahead. Stump Jet.
Hi, I was wondering, the singer of Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros was the singer of another pop band.
Alfred Hitchcock didn't have a belly button. It was removed after an emergency stomach surgery.
Jet, you don't understand. Chris is asking a question, and then you're supposed to answer. All right, try again, Chris.
What band was
you
the singer
of Edward
Sharpe?
You can make putting out of LSD.
For God's sakes.
The singer of.
Was it You Can Make Putting Out of LSD?
I don't believe that, Dave.
All right, what was it?
It's I'm a Robot.
Okay.
I'm not a robot.
Okay, he's not calling you a robot. That was
not
the
point.
All right, hang on.
I might get along with you even though you're a robot, Chris, but I am in fact not a robot.
All right.
One more.
I'm a goblin.
So far, everyone has stumped Jed. Let's try Dennis. Let's try Mike, please. Mike on line 6. This is the easiest question we can find, Jed. You know this answer, so concentrate, listen to the caller, and see if you can
come Don't talk
up
about
with
it. Cats or anything else. Just listen to the caller.
Donald Duck's middle name was Fauntleroy.
Mike, what's your question to stump Jed?
All right, Jed, what band is Brandon Flowers the lead singer of?
The voice of E.T. was originally done by Deborah Winger.
You're so close, but that's not the answer.
What is the answer, Mike?
The Killers.
The Killers.
You know that, right, Jed?
I thought he was in Slade.
No.
What's happening with
you? A pregnant goldfish is called a twit.
Okay. Everybody is in the drawing. Lisa May will now select one person to win tickets in the pit for night number 2 of the Almost Sweet Christmas Concert. Who's that going to be?
The winner is Juan.
Juan. Congratulations, Juan.
Thank you so much, guys.
He called in with a very difficult, what's the name of the Phoenix song that has numbers in it?
Yeah.
Right,
that was
exactly
tough.
Mark Almond's taking me to Umami Burger.
Yeah. Oh, okay, thank you.
Stop, Jet the Fish. Can you stop? Can you stop? Can you stop?
Hello?
Can you stop, Jet the Fish?
Coming up in about 10 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show, the greatest human in the world, our friend Mr. Skin, will be here talking about the best nude scenes of 2010. I think he's doing movies and TV, and it's a great list, so I'm very much looking forward to it. It's Skin Excusable, by the way, if you're not a subscriber to Mr. Skin, because that is the best website in the world.
It is.
So
that's true.
He's coming up also. Bob Saget next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right now.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Three different people today, all for having a run-in with the cops.
Okay.
Johnson City, Tennessee. Police in Tennessee say a drunken driving suspect was arrested after peeing on a police car during a traffic stop.
Don't do that.
Wow.
Swerving all over the place. Car pulled him over, got out of the car, walked back to the police car, unzipped, peed on the police car.
Just like a dog.
Now, was he just super, super drunk and didn't even realize what he was? Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if he realized it or not, but he was charged with drunk driving under the influence and indecent exposure.
Excellent.
I'd just like to suggest, if you get pulled over for drunk driving, there are some behaviors that maybe you shouldn't do.
Bigger clues that you're drunk?
Right. Second one is no jail time for drunk wheelchair driver. It's a wheelchair driver who is named Jean-Paul Escudi. He's 65 years old, and this is his 7th drunk driving charge in his wheelchair.
Now, wait a second. That would be the equivalent of giving somebody, is it a public intoxication ticket? Is that what it is? Because it's like walking while drunk. I mean, he can't walk. He's in a wheelchair, but he's
But the wheelchair goes 15 miles per hour, which they say makes it a vehicle.
Interesting.
And he ran into a cop car.
This is like the guys
who
get their tickets on lawnmowers. It's the same thing.
Right.
It's at some point it's motorized and you're at a higher standard than if you were just walking.
It's classified as a vehicle because it could reach speeds of up to 15 kilometers per hour. And apparently he had been stopped 5 times before this. And this time there was a police car that was sitting there stopped. And he just ran into it.
What do you want the guy to do? He's in a wheelchair. Let him drink.
I don't. Can he just stay home in the chair? Does he have to go out?
I don't know. He has to go to a bar, apparently, and he gets out on the freeway. I don't understand how they don't take it away from him at some point.
You can't take a man's wheelchair away.
It's his seventh DUI, Bean. They take your car away.
You can't, but you can't. If the guy can't walk, you can't take his wheelchair away because he drinks.
Is he drinking and driving it on the road?
I don't know.
Yes, he is. And is he driving it into police cars?
Well, it's not ideal. Look, I'm not saying it's a win, all right?
All right. And finally, note to criminals. If you don't want the police to arrest you, don't flag them down. A 44-year-old woman named Selma Elmore stopped Officer Dan Leon at 2:30 in the morning on a Friday morning. And she asked him, is there a curfew here? And he said, no. And then she followed that up with, can you check if there is a warrant for my arrest?
Oh.
So the cop checked, and yes, there was, and she ran.
Oh.
So she asked him to look it up, and then she ran away from him, and he had to get out of his car and chase her down.
Brilliant.
And tackle her.
How did you think that was going to play out?
I don't know why you would. He didn't stop her. She flagged him down. She said, hey, pull over. I have a question.
That's great.
And then he said, yes, you have a warrant for your arrest. And he started to get out and she just turned and ran. So alcohol, people, what we're saying is alcohol is good. Right?
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
All right. That's what we're saying.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Always a thrill to welcome our next guest onto the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, if they ever do, and I think it's unlikely they're ever going to at this point add a face to Mount Rushmore, but if they do, seriously, right next to Lincoln, wouldn't you put Mr. Skin?
Mr. Skin, Mr. Skin.
Yes, I would.
MrSkin.com.
Hey, mister.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks. It's great to talk to you. You can play along the home game at MrSkin.com. I'm telling you, at less than a buck a day, it's so skin expensive, and it's your chance to see everyone you've ever admired in television or movies naked. If they've done nudity, Mr. Skin has it on the website. We love it so much, and we love your list, and I guess we're at the end of the year, and you're kind of looking back. What's the criteria for this list today, Mr. Skin?
Well, these are the 10 best celebrity nude scenes of 2010. The only thing I should mention is that what I did this year is I didn't list them by television and movies. I just put them all together. It's to the point now where the nudity on cable, like HBO and Showtime, is R-rated movie quality, so
yeah.
No sense even breaking it up anymore. And these are just what I thought were the 10 best celebrity nude scenes of the year. And, you know, the same thing happens to me every time I do this. Like, it's the dog days of August. I'm kind of sad. Like, God, there could have been better nudity this year. I just think it's an off year. And then when I, around Thanksgiving, get together here at the Skin offices with my crack staff, we look over this stuff, and I always come out of the meeting going, my God, what an amazing
year. What a great year we had.
Same thing every year.
We're not going to have time for all 10. I think we'll just concentrate on the top 5. But you're absolutely right in that it is skin-sane this year. How many big stars like, Jessica Alba with her butt in The Killer Inside Me, I know you talked about. I mean, and people that we've wanted to see naked for years, like Mary Louise Parker, who really brought it hard on this most recent season.
Oh, my God, on Weeds. And, and that's something I should mention, too. If you go to our website, the whole list of 10 is there. You can see the pictures. But we also, for the first time, included a video of all 10 of the scenes back to back to back so you could enjoy them. Because some of these scenes, like the Mary Louise Parker one, which came in at number 7, you got to see the video of that scene to really appreciate it. Pictures do not paint the correct picture.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. It's great. Now, before we get into the top 5, we do have to ask, because we've been making fun of Kirsten Dunst and her effed up face for so many years. But how is her nude scene? If we're not focusing on her face, how is it?
Well, I compare it to, like, Katie Holmes in The Gift. When you knew on Dawson's Creek, Katie Holmes Katie Holmes had nice breasts, but when she showed them in The Gift, you were like, oh, my God, that's incredible. I think the Kirsten Dunst breast scene in All Good Things, which came in at number 8 on my list, you're going to say the same thing. You're going to be like, wow, I knew from Spider-Man she probably had good breasts, but now it could be confirmed.
Now I can look at something other than her teeth.
All right. That's what you're saying. All right. Mr. Skin, let's run down the top 5 list of celebrity nudes this week or this year in 2010. Who's at number 5?
Well, number 5 is from a movie I don't know if a lot of your listeners saw, but it's called Chloe, which came out in March. And Julianne Moore hires an escort to seduce her husband, played by Liam Neeson. She suspects he's cheating. Well, the escort is played by Amanda Seyfried, and things get very crazy. And next thing you know, at the 58-minute mark, Julianne Moore and Amanda Seyfried have this graphic lesbian sapphic sex scene that is so hot. And it's even more hot when you consider this is a rare cougar kitten lesbian scene.
Nice.
Where it's older
right.
woman, younger woman, and it just doesn't happen that often in the movies.
And by the way, I'd just like to say that Julianne Moore, honestly, one of the best-looking 50-year-olds you'll ever see.
She's oh, yeah, and Amanda Seyfried, one of the best-looking 20-something, so it's a nice combination. So,
all right, number 4 for 2010.
Yeah, number 4 on the list of the 10 best nude scenes of 2010 was from a movie that came out the night before Thanksgiving, Love and Other Drugs, with Anne Hathaway and Jake Gyllenhaal. And Anne Hathaway did a movie called Havoc in 2005, which was so cool because she was known as the girl from Princess Diaries, a G-rated actress, and all of a sudden she's doing like NC-17-ish
right.
style nudes. Well, this takes it another step. She's got like 6 nude scenes. We particularly love the scene at the 32-minute mark where she goes over to Jake Gyllenhaal's apartment in just a trench coat and nothing else and takes it off. So Anne Hathaway in Love and Other Drugs comes in at number 4.
All right. Thanks to Boardwalk Empire, we've seen a lot of naked hookers this
yes.
year on television.
And if you like your body parts natural, they couldn't do many plastic boobs in the 20s. So Paz de la Huerta in Boardwalk Empire is number 3 in our best nude scenes of the year. She plays Lucy, Nucky Thompson's girlfriend at the beginning of the season 1, and they just ended last night. A phenomenal season 1. I really enjoyed it, and the critics were pretty much positive about the show. But what I loved is all the incredible nudity. But no one did more nudes than Paz de la Huerta, especially in the clothing store in front of Margaret Schroeder, where she went full frontal, plus with Agent Van Alden in the brothel. So you're right. Great. At any time you get a girl topless playing a ukulele in an episode, you know it's going to have good.
That is pretty good. It's a sign of a good scene.
Yes.
And I think did we see her having sex with Steve Buscemi at some point this season,
oh, yeah.
too?
Yeah. I could only pick. You got to narrow down the one or two, and she was naked so much it was tough to do.
Sure.
So.
I agree, though. The scene with Agent Van Alden, Michael Shannon's character, that
yes.
was one of the hottest scenes of the whole season.
Oh, my right. God, yeah, it was great. And she's great. I'm glad people know her now, Paz de la Huerta. She wasn't too well-known before this, and now guys are starting to notice.
Another actress who should be on everyone's lips is Jessica Paré. Tell us about number 2 on your list, Mr. Skin.
Well, Hot Tub Time Machine is a movie that came out March 19th, and, the critics weren't too kind to this movie, but there's a scene 38 minutes in where Jessica Paré is in the hot tub with Craig Robinson, who I think is a hilarious actor. And it is like, I mean, you don't see an actress with 36D natural breasts get topless too often in a movie. It's usually like a fake-breasted actress or someone smaller. So from that standpoint, it was fantastic. But what was even better is later in the year, Mad Men season 4, she became Don Draper's secretary. And without giving away too much, if you haven't seen season 4, which was fantastic on Mad Men, her name, Jessica Paré, became the most searched woman online immediately after that final episode. And she really hit it big with Mad Men. So it's kind of cool where she was unknown but had incredible breasts and later in the year became well-known. But it was definitely
still incredible breasts.
still has incredible breasts either way. But yeah, number 2 is Jessica Paré in Hot Tub Time Machine.
And this is the perfect example, Mr. Skin, of why your site is so essential. I love Mad Men, and I fell in love with Jessica Paré as the secretary on that show. And I thought, like any red-blooded American would, my God, I have to see her naked. Has she ever been naked? I go right to your site. Boom, there's the Hot Tub Time Machine. 5 minutes later, I'm watching her naked. It's the greatest.
No, well, that's why I created the site, for those reasons. You see a hot girl on TV or you go to a movie and someone doesn't get naked, but you want to see if they have. That is the reason I did this site. It's just cool that these incidents happen where people could use it the way I envisioned. So.
Best Best nudity of 2010. I know that must have been a tough one. I'm sure there was a lot of conversation around the office. What'd you guys come up with?
Not a tough one, I'm guessing.
Well, this was a movie from the critically acclaimed Piranha 3D, but there's a scene at the 25-minute mark where Kelly Brook and Riley Steele are wearing nothing but flippers underwater, swimming completely naked, and the scene goes on forever. There's cool music. They do slow motion. The girls kiss. Yeah, this has all the ingredients of a great, great scene. Plus, add 3D to the mix, and you have an unbeatable nude scene. And Kelly Brook and Riley Steele in Piranha 3D, all you need to know is nothing but flippers, and it's
fantastic stuff. And as Kevin pointed out so often in the promotion leading up to that movie, they went out of their way to make it as comically a long underwater sex nude scene as possible. Right?
Oh,
I mean, it wasn't
so
fleeting.
It was just so in your face. We're going to make this as long as we possibly can because we know how sweet this is.
Right. And Kelly Brook actually has, ever since she did Survival Island with Billy Zane in 2003, it's like one of those movies that airs on cable every year or so. She's become like a cult icon because of this nude scene she did in that movie. But now with Piranha 3D, she has another great one to her credit.
Well, once again, you have entertained us for a solid 12 months, and your end-of-the-year list is fantastic. And as Mr. Skin said, you can see a video montage of all 10 of the finals that he's just mentioned and thousands of others for less than a buck a day. Go to MrSkin.com. Have a wonderful holiday season with you and Mrs. Skin and the whole family. We'll talk to you again next year.
All right. Take care, guys.
All the little skins, too.
Our friend Bob Saget joins us next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about his new show on A&E. And by the way, do yourself a favor. If you've not yet been to KevinandBean.com, you ought to check out the roundup video of Miss Double December 2011 from Friday, from the live broadcast on Friday. I don't think Lisa May motorboating the runner-up contestant for Miss Double D made the video, though. What's up with that?
I don't think it did because someone emailed me over the weekend that said, oh, you guys should have motorboated. And I'm like, I was right there. I was buried in him.
I was right there.
What character were you responding as? She's channeling Britney or something. Anyway, go to KevinandBean.com and you can see the video. And congratulations again to Christine, who won Miss Double December 2011, who we will be seeing at Acoustic Christmas this weekend as part of her prize. All right, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
What do you mean, Kevin, I can't have a special break this week?
Why do you always say that?
Because
it's you'll always enjoy it. Trust me, you'll enjoy it.
All right.
It'll be very entertaining. Let's take a look at the top 10 weekend movies. Every Monday morning, we take a look and see how much money the movies made over the weekend. Tangled was number one, $21.5 million. Kept it at the number one slot, just passing Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. Made $16.7 million. Then there was a tie between Unstoppable and Burlesque. Each made $6.1 million. Fifth was Love and Other Drugs, Megamind, Due Date, Faster, The Warrior's Way, and The Next 3 Days, rounding out the top 10.
Now, that Black Swan is the one everyone was talking about, but it's still in super limited release, right?
Yes.
Not a lot of theaters?
Okay. Not yet. It'll be in wider release, as they say, in a couple weeks, so you can check that out. But The Next 3 Days, I got to tell you, it's Russell Crowe. This guy used to be a big movie star.
Yeah.
Now he's having a hard time getting people into the theaters.
I saw that one, and it was decent. But it was decent.
What about the part where Cher sang without moving her mouth,
that was
Kevin?
Not,
what about
that? That was not
good. Listen, me, come see my movie.
That was burlesque. That was not mine.
Lisa went to see that. I'm trying not to bring it up again because it just makes me so angry that I don't want to lose my temper and do something I'll regret.
That's smart.
Thank you.
That's a smart way to handle it.
I'm trying not to talk about it.
All right.
Cole and Lisa stocking this year. Let's not even call QVC this year. It's
really I agree.
Come on, call? You guys.
No, it's usually crap, though.
We'll just give her a lump of poop in a stocking. That's what she gets
this
year.
You're right. It's about the same.
It's about the same.
It'd be better than burlesque. Speaking of movies, there are bad movies that Lisa likes, and then there's good movies.
Like?
Like True Grit from the Coen brothers.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
How great does this look?
It's awesome.
It's, of course, a reimagining.
You're not allowed to go, Lisa.
You're not allowed to go.
I knew it would be good.
Wait until Cher stars in True Grit. Then you can go see that. Wait till Bette Midler makes 3 Days of the Condor or something. You can go see that. True Grit, of course, was the only film that John Wayne, legendary cowboy actor, ever won an Oscar for.
Don't really think about that movie. Nothing.
You ever seen the original with John Wayne?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Oh, my
no.
God.
Wow, I don't know how you missed that movie.
I don't know.
It's a classic, but the Coen brothers have bring their own take on this legendary story. It was based on a book, and apparently they've gone back to the source material by all... Oh, I can't wait. Jeff Bridges? Come on, Jeff Bridges!
Yeah, he's great.
He's the best!
He's great. right. Okay. All right. He's the best.
I mentioned I saw Tron this weekend, speaking of Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
The original, though.
Oscar winner, of course, for Crazy Heart. He plays the Rooster Cogburn role in this film. Matt Damon joins him, Josh Brolin. Boy, does this look great. It is hitting theaters everywhere on December the 22nd. How would you like to see it before anybody else? How would you like to go before the people see it in theaters? And a very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of True Grit on December the 14th at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood.
Yes, please.
I'll be there hosting the event.
Fantastic.
So you come on by and see me. I can't. Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin. We're all full up. Yeah, we're all full up.
Oh, I thought.
I've got five pairs of tickets to give away right now to the first five listeners who get through at 1-800-520-1067. Come join me and watch True Grit.
Us and
Kevin will be in the parking lot.
Who didn't invite me? Why didn't I get invited?
First five callers, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Best of luck. It's going to be an amazing, amazing evening. I love the Coen brothers. I love Jeff Bridges. I love Matt Damon. I love Josh Brolin. I just love everything.
And the Coen brothers, by the way, have proved that they can handle a Western after No Country for Old Men. Let's face it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What are you saying?
I'm saying yes. Sad news today. Amber Heard has come out as a lesbian.
I wouldn't say that's sad.
That doesn't sound too bad.
Sad for those of us with penises.
Well, but I mean, you didn't have a shot anyway.
How do you know?
Oh, come on.
You don't know. There could be some sort of nuclear apocalypse and she and I are two left? Trapped in some sort of lead-lined vault somewhere. You don't know.
And if human civilization has to survive, it's up to you two?
She was on the red carpet at a GLAAD event. Here in Los Angeles, GLAAD, of course, being the gay, lesbian, anti-always dichotomy. I don't know what that stands for, but some sort of a gay group. And they had a big event, and there she was on the red carpet with her partner, Tasha Van Rie.
Sounds hot.
You might want to look at the pictures.
Oh, Amber Heard's hot.
She's not as hot as Amber Heard, but she's not an unattractive woman.
You pass that judgment, Kevin. You might want to take a look at the pictures.
Will do.
She talked about how glad she is.
Glad.
To be out. No pun intended.
Nice.
And how no longer to be a part of the problem in Hollywood by staying in the closet. So
that's fine.
That is tight. That's what she says.
I still love her, and I still am going to have sex with her because we're meant to be together.
Wow.
That's Bean Newton's
impression. For those of you who don't find that voice familiar, that's one of our listeners who has a big crush on Amber.
Obsessed with Amber Heard.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Survivor's Colleen. Remember Colleen?
She was a cute little
blonde. She was
blonde.
Adorable. Then she went to do chapstick commercials, and then she got a movie role with Rob Schneider in The Animal. First season, she was the sweetheart of the first season. Everybody loved her. No, nobody more than this guy, though.
Colleen!
If you're writing your own song, can't you write it in a key you can sing?
He can hit that, obviously.
Wow, that hurt.
He was not only responsible for the Colleen song, but this guy used to send us songs on a regular basis during the first season of Survivor when we were all sort of obsessed with the show.
Right.
Uh-huh. And he wrote a song about Richard Hatch, who went on to win.
Richard, you suck. You suck. You're a snake. You suck. You're fat. How can you be fat on an island with Jim Rice? Richard, how can you still be fat?
And we could never put a name to it. He would never tell us who he was. We kept trying to get in touch with him. He would just send us songs, and he was a mystery man.
Because he's about art. He doesn't want fame or fortune.
I guess that's it.
Like
commerce for him.
That's right. He writes songs from the heart.
Great work, though.
He's like a young Bob Dylan. Lindsay Price celebrates her 34th birthday today. Judd Apatow's 43. And Peter Buck of REM celebrates his 54th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Strange days. Strange days.
Wow.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
That's beautiful.
That's a high-quality theme song brought to you by our friend Bob Saget. His show is called Strange Days with Bob Saget, and it airs Tuesday nights, although I think they're burning the whole season tomorrow night. It's a marathon,
right, Bob?
They're
smoking the whole thing. Are they really?
Well, how bad is this show that they can't wait to get it off the air?
They love it. They're putting the whole thing in a peace pipe. They're just going nuts. It's on tomorrow night. It runs from 10 o'clock until midnight, and what doesn't?
Okay, but wait. There's 6 episodes total, and they're burning 4 of them tomorrow.
Yeah, that is accurate.
Is that a good sign?
Well, it's a spotlight on it for sure.
Right. Yeah.
It's a Bobathon. Uh-huh. They could have held to, but if I had good grammar, they would have colded. They holded held. I'm on NyQuil. They would have kept two more probably a week later. But I think they have a lot of television to get out before the year's over, and so they wanted to give it what they feel is a good shot.
Okay, before the year's over, because it's a tax write-off, this is what's going to save their bottom line this season, your show?
I don't know. I do think taxes has something to do with it.
All right.
That's weird.
But it's a cool show, and I spent a year going to these.
Now, I want to hear about the show, but let's talk about A&E for a second, because you're Bob Saget, so right? I would imagine you could get on any network you want to get. If you wanted to be on Fox or CBS, you could be on it. Why A&E? Because aren't they the Gene Simmons, David Hasselhoff, Sarah Palin channel?
But they're also the Obsessed channel, and I possess that. They also do creative documentary kind of stuff too. But yes, they are a network that has people on it that want to explode themselves in a reality way.
It does happen, and I
don't want to do that. You know, I never wanted to bring my family in and get more bloated than I already am.
So you went to other people's families and you.
Well, this was a really interesting thing. I came up with a show like 12 years ago where I would sleep over people's houses, and then that seemed like a little invasive,
right?
And I didn't have any protection, and I didn't want to get or antibiotics. So a little time went by. I made a phone call working with really cool people at this Tijuana Entertainment. I should have known. They're called Tijuana Entertainment.
Yeah.
It's like...
Red flags,
black Volvite paintings. I'm sorry. I can't talk. Velvet.
Could we get some more NyQuil for Bob, please?
Oh, it's so sad.
We do
no,
need
No, I was
some.
Gonna say black velvet bullfight paintings, and I went Volvite. Black Volvite, which is...
try and track that down
it's
now.
It's part of
that's
a woman,
a,
really.
It's that's a gynecologic... Sort of. That's not good. East LA gynecologist office. But
so the idea was
we melded the guy. Let's go look at subcultures that I might not know. My own little bucket list of things I'd never seen. I'd never been to
Canada. Bob, because I speak Bob on NyQuil, in a way, what Mike Rowe has done for the working man with his Dirty Jobs show, you're doing for other types of people. May not necessarily be a job. It may be a hobby or an interest or something like that the rest of us haven't seen before.
Right. Looking for Bigfoot in the middle of the night with infrared gear like it's the Hurt Locker, but all you're doing is looking for a beast that could not even exist.
With people who all believe they're going to see it?
Yes.
Awesome.
And they go there and they take you on their guide. There might as well be the Jungle Cruise guide person at Disneyland. On your left is a 1,500-pound Yeti that you might not see, but you
but
heard
it's
that twig.
There.
Yes, and go pee in the dark.
Wow.
So, Bob, how do you approach, like, the people in the Pacific Northwest that you went out looking for Bigfoot? You know that they're crazy, right?
Right.
Do you play it straight? Do you pretend that you're down with them, or do you make fun of them during the whole episode? Or
well,
what?
It's a good question, because every episode was a 60-hour arc of being with those people for 5 to 6 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. We tortured ourselves.
Wow.
That's a good question. But we actually, in the very beginning, I thought Bigfoot could exist, okay? Because I'm open to stuff. So I would email my daughters, and there was not phone connections we could really have.
Right.
And I said, I think Bigfoot exists. Talk to you in a couple days.
Right.
Which is like, oh no,
there
dad's,
go. Dad's
face,
lost it.
Dad's gone. His face can be ripped off. We're going to find him behind a coyote.
Right.
Then as the days went on, and the show aired last week, so the Bigfoot episode, it's obvious. So we brought up that we didn't find him. Because if we had found him, I would have come on here.
What a bummer.
I would have been on the show with no face, no mandible, and I would have gone, Bigfoot.
But let me ask you this, Bob. Because I've heard a lot about Bigfoot in the years that I've lived in the crazy Pacific Northwest, but didn't the guy who made the famous Bigfoot video that started
the
whole
Johnson
legend...
Is it the Johnson video, is it?
Right. He admitted that it was a hoax. He admitted before he died that he made the whole thing up.
He was killed by a Bigfoot, wasn't he?
Why didn't that kill all of the Bigfoot conspiracies, though? Isn't that all you need to know? It's like when the guys came out and said, yeah, we're the guys making the crop circles. Well, that puts an end to the crop circles, doesn't it?
Well, it would have.
No, if people want to believe, they believe, no matter what.
When I got there, I met the Native Americans that lived there, and they said to me things like, he's people. He exists. Bigfoot is people. He's people. They are people.
Okay.
They're men, and they're women, and they're children, and they sometimes come into our society.
But they're not giant monsters.
They are
bears
giant,
hairy people.
Yeah, exactly. Like in Star Wars.
Like Khloe Kardashian.
But much more Wookiee-like. You know, they're like Chewbacca. I was saying Chewbacca because we were leaving him smoked salmon and apples and Danish to eat. I was like, I actually said on the air, is Bigfoot Jewish? And the guy went, no.
No.
But
I was like, that was a dumb question.
And he, if he was Jewish, he would have eaten everything. I mean, there was nothing. Nothing was touched. So you don't put a buffet out. My other belief was, and I'm proud to say this, is that I believe he was running because he's a very small unit. He's got giant feet and giant hands that have been recorded in cement.
Ah.
But he's tiny down below.
There's he doesn't want to show that that's not relevant.
Saucer is tiny and the teacup is big and he's in hiding because he's ashamed that he's got no package.
I got you. Now, when you visit all of these subcultures, and we're talking to Bob Saget about his new show called Strange Days with Bob Saget.
And there's 19 of them. 19 of them tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We're running 5 seasons of it. We're running the DVD box set tomorrow night.
Do they welcome you into their own and accept you as a member of the subculture, or do they look at you as big-time Hollywood, big-shot actor who, you know, they're kind of standoffish about?
Do they know you, first of all?
Well, yes, they do know
me. Everyone knows the
No,
sag.
I know, but I'm
Come
saying
on.
That, you
but
know.
You guys have known me for 20 years, and no one thinks of me as big-time anything.
That's true.
I'm fairly self-effacing. I look like your accountant, am I right? I look like your dentist.
Yeah,
that
that's
doesn't
true.
Really do his work well, because he's on NyQuil. Where's that molar? Let me go. Well, I'm your proctologist. Sorry, I shouldn't be going through there. But I was welcomed pretty nicely. They would be like, oh, Bob, what are you going to do? Like, I went to a summer camp, which is the first episode on tomorrow night. And they said,
a summer camp for what age?
Exactly, 12-year-old boys. They had, and, you know, all
okay.
They said, let Bob, it was like Lenny and Mice and Men, let Bob come and visit these four kids and kind of be part of this bunk. And these are great, great kids. So
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Was that said in a chat room?
Did
at
Chris
any point?
Hansen show up at the end of the episode?
No. No, there was no one of any fame there.
So you went to a camp for boys.
And not just boys. It was girls, too. That we kind of I tried to introduce them to girls, but they were shy 12-year-old boys. And I was told, but that just sounds like a court case, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't. It does. What are we talking about now? Are we still talking about Strange Days?
I ziplined. That's a camp activity.
That is, yes.
All right. I belayed.
Now, were you a
belayed camp activity.
Were you a camper?
Three men in a boat. Camp activity.
I don't know. I think that's also a sex position.
The act that now. Dare not speak its name. But I was with these guys who were charming guys. And
were you a camper or a camper?
Another good question. Okay. Put me in a culture. How do I fit in?
Right.
Difficult to understand.
Because you're not 12.
No. Well, okay. You know me kind of well in some ways. But the woman,
are you a counselor?
No.
What are you?
I am just Bob at camp. Okay. I am a thing, an enigma that showed up. And this lady said, please, this nice lady. Lady. Said, we'd like to know that you are the Full House Bob, not the HBO Bob.
And oh, they I went, told you, you know, that ahead of time.
And I said, I can effing do that. So I took care of that. And then the one that, these are all on in order of actually how I'm speaking tomorrow night. And the second of the 400th
okay,
episode.
Okay, save it right there because we have to take a break, Bob.
What?
When we come back, we'll find out what the next episode is and if Bob figured out a way to get paid to hang out with 12-year-old boys, which is what he wants to do anyway. The show is called Strange Days with Bob Saget. It airs Tuesday nights on A&E. A 4-episode marathon tomorrow night. Don't miss it. More with Bob after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. This time next hour, by the way, you can listen for Crossfire by Brandon Flowers. When you hear it, be caller number 21 and win pit tickets to see the lineup for Almost Acoustic Christmas on Sunday at the Gibson Amphitheater in Los Angeles. That's coming up here. First, Bob Saget in the studio. Here's what I love about Bob is that he goes to Eastern European countries to film his new TV show, Strange Days with Bob Saget. And he comes back with some sort of previously unidentified pneumonia that can't be cured by antibiotics and brings it in and breathes all over all of us.
Right.
That's what's great about Bob.
Well, that was a year and a half ago. You would never get it. I gave it to Rick Dees. It's fine.
Okay, good.
But listen to you. You sound like crap, Bob. You
no,
sound like
fine.
You're still sick.
Yeah, that's because I took the Lou Rawls diet. No, you'll never find. No, I just drank NyQuil last night because I didn't feel good, and I'm fighting it. But I'm fine. I'm
no,
not
NyQuil's
sick. You're not
going
to get this. I don't have pneumonia. I had it a year ago, and I went to Ukraine to do okay. a pilot. For this Strange Days.
Now, what were you doing in Ukraine?
We were trying to see what the show was. So we were getting guys, mail order brides. We were checking that out.
Seeing if it's
That's
real?
Seeing if it's real. It was
for
real.
I
love mail order brides.
I know someone who did it. It's for what? Real.
It's for
I
real.
Know somebody who did it, too.
What?
And they meet nice women. Some yeah. are underage. You know, the legal age of consent there, the joke is, it's yes. and you don't want to do that. I mean, I felt bad. I'm not a, you know, a guy that's a misogynist and looks at women that way. So I felt guilty and bad, so I slept with one of the cameramen. You know, that's what I did.
What safe. Was his name?
Tim. And yeah. you know where it's... Notice I took a beat. Not at all.
Not a beat.
So, Bob, when you go to the Ukraine and you start getting into the seedy, and maybe it's not seedy, I don't know, maybe for these women it is their best shot at an actual good life rather than live and die at 45 in the Ukraine. Tell me about those women. What are they up to?
They want a visa. They want to be able to come over here and live the life that we live in America, and they watch it on TV. They get Kojak now.
Good.
They don't have, they really want to be rescued. And a lot of the men, it's two-thirds women there. A lot of the men have had heart attacks, alcohol disease, and they just split because the Cold War was like 95. And I was at the staying right near the Odessa Steps, which is, you know, Battleship Potemkin, and Woody Allen parodied it, the baby carriage running down the steps.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Tragic scene, the Cossacks. That's that's the hotels near there. So, yes. Oh, what memories. Let's go back where our grandparents were persecuted, honey, and have a nice night.
Now, but, how do you start looking for mail-order brides once you're there?
There's a service called Anastasia, and you pay like a couple bucks, and you get an email from them, and then they pay a couple bucks to get the emails back and forth.
Okay.
And then you strike up a conversation, and you get to know someone through writing. So it's almost like having a pen pal, but you're paying for it.
But and what's fascinating, you know, is that there's...
is in your
there's, exactly, but there's no, from my understanding, and maybe it's not the same with all the agencies, but there's absolutely no background check on the men in America who buy these women.
There were, from this organization, there was, especially because we were trying to do something on the up and up, and in a world that you would think is sketchy.
Yeah, you would think of it as 100% sketchy.
We didn't do it that way because this was a pilot for an A&E show, so we wanted to not really hurt anybody. So there are a lot of, you know, a lot of things to sign to make sure that we weren't going to haze them.
It does it sound to you like Bean knows a little too much about this world?
I think he knows a lot about it. And
asking.
You are right by a computer.
Yeah.
Ironically.
I have a friend who has a mail order bride. And she is
from
lovely.
Where?
Russia.
And
from
how?
Russia.
And
yeah.
Russia.
That's where my friend is from.
Really?
As well.
Kiev? Is that they always say Kiev?
I'm not sure. He is probably, I say he's a friend. I mean, he's a guy I know on the island who has done some work on my home. He's a, you know, handyman and whatnot. But he has, he's probably in his 50s or something, and he brought over a woman who was probably around 30 and was very nice and spoke real good English. And, you know, he in a million years would have never been able to meet somebody like that and marry somebody like that. And but, from what I can tell, they have been together for several years now. It is working out for both of them.
Okay.
She accepts it. She's married to this old guy and gets to live in America. And he has a young hot chick at home.
And I do hear this from some of these guys. A couple of them did meet women that they really liked. And but my question for you is, you, when anybody says, I have a friend,
yeah.
It does sound like you have a basement. Is there a trap door below where you are?
I have a basement. Yes.
Oh, God. Your food will be here in an hour. Eat another Braunschweiger.
Was it tough to crack wise when you kind of felt bad and kind of guilty about this whole mail order bride
did you
thing?
You say crack wise?
Would you consider yourself a wise cracker?
I did not. I used no wiseness nor cracking. I was I was dignified and lonely, and and I kept it that way. And I started in a, you know, I just really wanted to explore this. I was romantic about the whole thing. That's what I thought was compelling about the show, and it actually is why they bought the series and then said, "Well, let's not do a show like this because we don't know what this is.
Let's not do this again."
Is Bob's Search of Romance in Ukraine. Let's
that
try
sounds like
to
a
go
series.
Domestic. So,
all right. So then you went to the boys' camp.
I went to the boys' camp, and I'm the one that's, hello, William.
So, and then, by the way, after the boys' camp, then Bob wasn't getting enough man-on-man action, so he decided to try the world of wrestling. So he did some backyard wrestling, right?
Backyard wrestling, and then a lucha libre wrestling.
Oh, lucha libre is the best.
My index card Spanish is amazing. I'm so embarrassing. I should have worn the hood.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Did you say that to one of those guys?
I said it to every man.
Okay.
There is no man that did not hear that. Let me rehearse this with you, but we're not wrestling. Please, let me rehearse. I have the blood packet. I will burst it below my nose.
Oh,
and
what's
then,
happening?
And then we went to the Dragon Gate, which was a big show, which is a couple thousand people screaming and yelling, and guys that want to go on the WWE. So it was kind of a global. It's a documentary.
Were you at any point on top of the ropes, ready to jump?
No, I was not in an outfit. That's reserved for the greatness of Jack Black, who wear the tights. I'm not showing my peanut off. I'm exhausted.
I'm just checking.
Just checking.
In the corner? What's that? I mean, how do you?
Cough. I'm in the ring. Someone yells out, Full House sucks. I yell back. To the crowd, so does your mother, and I leave. And I let men wrestle. But it was, you know, it's a 22-minute episode that globally encounters wrestling that I'm doing in a comedic way.
I think that's an official word.
Is that an official word? It is, right?
Sure.
Why not? Sure.
It's a documentary comedy. Comedy.
Nothing
is just,
dirty about that.
No. That puts the two genres together.
Was that the point? Was that the line?
Yeah, it was.
Is there a problem?
No. You put your toe over, but then you came back.
I did, because it's documentary.
Correct.
I was a documentary film student. Enough. that it gets
Bob
quiet.
Saget, you loved him on One Versus 100. Now you can love him even more on Strange Days with Bob Saget, his
Never
new series, Tuesday nights.
What did I
Tuesdays
do?
Nights on A&E, including four big episodes. So you'll see most of the season if you just tune in tomorrow night.
Wait a minute. I just want to clarify one thing. You spent 60 hours per show.
Episode,
okay. And then they're going to show four of them in 2 hours.
Right. Have you ever done crystal meth?
That's what it's like.
This tomorrow night, 10 to midnight, is the biggest hit of television you could possibly get.
Okay. There you go. A&E.
On A&E, right.
And it's called Strange Days with Bob Saget.
And I'm proud of it.
And you
come for
be.
The Saget, stay for the Simmons on A&E. That should be what they say. Thanks, Bob. Don't touch anything that Saget touched, Ralph. That's what
Too
I'm telling
late.
You.
It's,
you
all,
sit
it's
down
everywhere.
There. Yeah. I know.
You've touched everything.
To do.
You're going
to
be out for the rest of the year now.
Sweet.
All right. Time for the showbiz
back,
now
Bob.
For
Kiss me.
One final time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Ben Roethlisberger's nose.
Yeah.
That's going
yeah.
on.
That looks bad, didn't it?
That was hilarious.
Very crooked, that nose.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ravens treated his nose like he treats women. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Poorly.
Poorly.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
How come nobody talks about him?
I don't know.
Being a douchebag? I don't know.
That was suspended for sexual assault.
Right.
Everyone on his team seems to hate him.
People still angry about Michael Vick. Did it to dogs. Women are people.
Yeah.
That's a whole other echelon, isn't it?
Are they?
Well, he wasn't convicted of anything, and I will tell you, not that I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't automatically believe everything that every woman says about a professional athlete because I think a lot of times they're out for money.
So you think the NFL is just suspending him for safety's sake? Just like, oh, there's evidence here, but we're just going to suspend him.
I don't know. I don't know what happened there for reals. I really don't. I mean, he's a tool. I don't look up to him, that's for sure.
Nose was sideways.
Was.
Yeah.
That was honked up.
Yeah. Who's hurting worse today, him or Favre?
Favre.
Because Favre just had his clock cleaned.
Yeah, I mean, really.
But Favre's life is over. I think that's more
yeah.
painful, more even more than the physical stuff. Anyway, good football weekend. All right, let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Tangled, $21.5 million, made it number one at the box office this weekend. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 came in at number 2 with $16.7 million. Then Unstoppable and Burlesque tied in third place with $6.1 million each. They got Lisa Mae's money.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Burlesque. And I don't regret it at all.
Well, yeah, see, that's part of the problem.
It's getting defiant now.
Yeah, I know.
When do we get our murder button?
Good question.
If you show no sign of remorse, I really think you have to go back inside.
Oh.
Would I have to go see it again?
No. You have to go to some sort of prison. That's what I'm
right.
saying.
Movie prison.
Share prison.
Share
correctional facility. Yes.
It'd suck.
If I could be one more. No. Love and Other Drugs was fifth. Megamind due date faster. The Warrior's Way. And the next 3 days running at your top 10. The box office this weekend. Katie Holmes is upset. Because Tom Cruise keeps raiding her cosmetic supplies.
What?
Yeah, this story comes from the National Enquirer, so take it with a grain of salt. But Tom is so panicked about getting older
right.
that he is raiding Katie Holmes' stash of beauty and makeup supplies.
Can't he get his own?
Apparently not.
Maybe it's embarrassing.
Well, source says Tom's in a major midlife crisis. He's freaking out over the new lines on his face, the gray hairs on his head. And he has started applying Katie's high-priced facial creams.
Is that code?
Cleansers and even her makeup for the results. Tom has been going into Katie's bathroom and using her pricey cosmetics, including a face cream that retails for $320 a jar.
Dude.
Uses a facial mask on a regular basis. He slathers Katie's foundation on his face before public events and even lightly applies her mascara to make his eyelashes look fuller.
Doesn't he already look better than...
Yes.
99% of the guys his age.
His age? Almost any age.
Yeah.
Dad, Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet.
But, you know, when you're that pretty and you've made your career being a pretty boy,
right.
And once that starts to go...
Right, but don't you have people and makeup artists and you have to steal your wife's stuff?
It's a secret, Kevin.
Come on.
It's a secret.
What's happening?
You can't say it publicly. You can't say, oh, I need help. You have to just do it. Quietly in your own bathroom.
Okay.
But it's gotta be hard when you're known for being
pretty.
So let me ask you this. Boy. Couldn't you ask your wife to help you with it? I mean, do you have to go in
like
and feel
talk.
It?
Talk. Stop. No, get your head point. Out of sand, mister. Wake up.
That's a good point.
Why would you want to go over to her house, Kevin?
That's a good point.
Oh, Britney Spears. She's not only denying a report that her boyfriend Jason Trawick beat on her last week. I don't know who was publicizing that. People like you and Bean, I guess, Kevin, were probably playing that tape saying horrible things.
I think that was you. I think you brought
Jason
that to us.
Jason Trawick roughing up Britney Spears.
Pretty sure we were discounting
pretty sure
it. Horrible.
We were hosting.
It was not true when you played it.
But People Magazine says the couple celebrated Britney's birthday with a romantic trip to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. So things are going lovely, lately. In that relationship.
Good.
There. Couldn't be happier.
Good. Holy sombrero!
Lee, how long have you been waiting to use that one?
It's worth it, though.
There on that,
it wasn't worth it.
Sitting there on that panic button.
That one wasn't worth it. How long did you have that one?
I've had my finger on the button for 4 weeks.
Waiting just for waiting a Holy for Sombrero reference.
That was not worth it.
J.K. Rowling isn't just a successful authoress. Creator of Harry Potter. She's also a lifesaver. She is.
How true!
She saved someone's life.
Oh, yeah?
See, Bean's been watching all the old Batman TV series episodes,
man.
And now he's pulling clips out of that.
It's not happening.
To let.
Come on, seriously.
Apparently, a young lady named Ivana Lynch.
Yes?
Is that a horrible joke? I make that name.
Don't
I can't
say it.
Use it. Contacted J.K. Rowling when she was 11 years old.
Yeah.
She wrote to J.K. and said, I want to be an actress, and I want to be in a Harry Potter movie. Unfortunately, I suffer from anorexia, and I'm concerned about my health. And J.K. Rowling responded to her, saying, before you can become an actress, young lady, you have to work on ridding yourself of that anorexia problem. Get yourself healthy first, and the rest will come. Well, little Ivana Lynch did grow up to be an actress. And she landed the role of Luna Lovegood in the Harry Potter movie.
How about that?
And now you know the rest of the story.
Everyone in Hollywood's telling her, you've got to lose weight.
You're so fat. You will never work in this town.
Be thinner.
You'll lose some weight. Poor Ivana Lynch.
That's very cool, though.
Her grandfather was in the Klan, by the way.
Come on.
What was he laughing?
Ivana Lynch.
Come on.
Oh, come on. Those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
It's very cool of J.K. Rowling to care enough to write back to that and then also to honor her her commitment to put her in the movie. I thought that's a sweet story, Ralph.
All right, Bean. I'm glad you approved.
Trying to deflect you all about
what? I didn't do anything.
Not you, Bean. Not Ralph. Not you, Ralph. Trying to deflect everything Ralph's saying.
Let's take a look at celebrity
birthdays. That's a sweet
story.
I'm
glad you honored your commitment.
Come on.
Give me some more clips. Play some more clips.
Ouch!
What are you doing? What are you doing with your time?
He's pulling single words now on TV shows to play.
What's happening?
Because the goal is one day I won't have to talk at all. I can just be the wheels of steel.
Do that now.
It's the end of the year, right? We're done, right?
Yeah,
this is the last show.
Oh, this is the last show.
Thank God.
You have your head up your ass.
Today's celebrity birthday is Craigslist founder Craig.
Oh. What's he up to?
He's celebrating his birthday. 58 years old today. Peter Buck of REM.
Watch out!
He's 54 years old. Director-writer Judd Apatow.
Waiting.
I got nothing. 43 years old today. Actress Lindsay Price celebrates her 34th birthday. And Survivor's Colleen Haskell of the first season of Survivor. She is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have John Brankus from ESPN, The Perfect Point. We also have Allison Hayslip, by the way, from Future.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Talking about American Ninja Warrior, which, of course, I'm a finalist on, as everyone knows.
Sure. That's a TV show?
Yeah.
I am not familiar with that. I love her on the Attack of the Show. I've not seen this other show.
You know what it is? American Ninja Warrior is in Japan, and it's Wipeout without the wipeouts. They're extreme athletes that don't fall. You fall once, you're out. It's amazing. Wow.
That's impressive.
It's a really impressive show.
The wildest is yet to come.
Okay. Plus, we have tickets in the pit all week long for you to go to the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic.
Christmas.
Caught in the act.
Thank you, Bean. Thank you for saving me, Bean. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.